Choose life. Choose a job. Choose a career. Choose a family. Choose a big television. Choose washing machines, cars, compact disc players and electrical tin openers. Choose good health, low cholesterol and dental insurance. Choose fixed interest mortgage repayments. Choose a starter home. Choose your friends. Choose leisure wear and matching luggage. Choose a three-piece suite on hire purchase and a range of fabrics. Choose DIY and wondering who the f*** you are on a Sunday morning. Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing junk food into your mouth. Choose rotting away at the end of it all. You're last in a miserable home, nothing more than an embarrassment to the selfish up brats that you've spawned to replace yourselves. Choose your future. Choose life. But why would I want to do a thing like that? I chose not to choose life. I chose something else. And the reasons? There are no reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got heroin?
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
All right, I have four quick thoughts to share. One is, if you listen to that real casually, it sounds like we're saying the CD Game Exchange Studios. Secondly, there ought to be a band called Whitney Houston's Bathroom. Thirdly, that train spotting thing is kind of depressing, but the music sort of fools you into thinking it's going to be real chipper because it's got that Iggy Pop, Lust for Life thing going on in the background. Fourthly, that song is about heroin, and yet it's used to advertise all kinds of things, and I believe to introduce the Jim... what is that show? Jim Roop Show. The Jim Rome Show? Isn't that that guy?
The, Hey, dog, can I kick some sports knowledge with you?
What?
Probably used for a Lexus or something.
I swear to God, I've... Like a Carnival Cruise Line ad or something, where they were using, They were using Iggy Pop's Lust for Life, which I do believe is about the injecting of heroin into your veins. I think it was Jim Rome that uses that. I might be wrong about that.
What's up, G? What's up, dog? Can I drop some science with you? Let's take it back to the hood.
What am I doing? Oh, and, you know, and here's the other thing. I just saw some TV commercial the other day using the Laws, There She Goes. At least they weren't using that terrible Evanescence version, but they're using There She Goes by the Laws. And it was this, for like an Oil of Olay thing, it was like some weird skin. There She Goes by the Laws, which is also about heroin. So I guess the moral is, if you write a song about heroin, at some point it will be used to advertise some family-friendly fun product. You know. All right.
Well, there you go.
Why, hello. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of July in the year of our Lord 2005. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. And there's that great sequence in the train spotting, that opening, where they're running through traffic and that car nearly hits Ewan McGregor, and he says that like crazy, like mad-eyed cackle, and his head's all shaved and whatnot, and then it's just him passing out in his bedroom or whatever. That's a movie I don't ever need to see again. We were going around the room, and Sarah revealed that she had seen Trainspotting like a dozen times. Tim sounded like he's seen at least a few times. That is a great movie, but it's one of those movies that I walked out of acknowledging how great it was, but then feeling like I never really needed to put that inside my head again. That was something I did not need a second helping of. Ewan McGregor sitting in a room pooping himself while a crazy baby crawls on the screen, and he falls into a toilet and goes swimming. Thank you, no. I got all of that I needed for when I watched Requiem for a Dream, which I've now seen. I think I've seen Requiem for a Dream three times, and I think I've reached, I think I'm topped off. That's my limit. I think my Requiem for a Dream cup is now marked full. So, all right. I don't even know what we're doing here. It's 503-733-2970. Hello, 503-733-2970 is our phone number today. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your two cents, your what have you, 503-733-2970. You want to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can also email Sarah. It's Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. It is Thursday. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Are these calls about anything in particular? All right. Well, we'll get to it. When did that happen, actually? When did the first segment of the show sort of transmogrify into, like, an open phone segment? I'm not complaining. It's fine.
I think it might have been...
Was it that day that Scotty was gone?
Wait, open phone segment or when we started playing the movie quotes?
Well, we started doing the movie quotes. We started lying and saying we were doing the movie quotes like 6 weeks ago, but it was really just Bill Pullman every day. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've actually been doing it.
I think it was actually Aaron that started that, because he sent me the Bill Pullman speech.
That
for
is
some
true.
Reason, I don't know... Because we were talking about Bill Pullman inexplicably, and then...
I can already sense it's a little bit of a fragmented day, so let me just throw in this other thought from yesterday. We never got to it, but there was a call on the screen I saw yesterday. And sometimes, you know, people hold, sometimes they don't, sometimes they get hit by another car and they have to hang up, whatever. But we got this call yesterday, it was on the screen, it was like, does Rick watch Big Love on HBO with Bill Pullman? And, of course, going back to a recurring theme on this program, that is not Bill Pullman, it is... Bill Paxton.
Oh, God.
Because they all... No. I'm not going to revisit the whole thing. Just to say that that's a common thread woven to our discussion of all things Pullman-esque. Is that he is always... And they don't look anything alike. That's the weird thing. Bill Paxton's got those big effed up donkey teeth, and a flat top. And Bill Pullman's kind of a round-faced, chunky guy. Looks like sort of a... Like Jeff Daniels gone all the seed. They don't look anything alike. And yet, Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman are constantly confused with each other. Anyway, well, I don't know what we're doing. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Much to get to today, so much so that Tim and I were talking about this before the show. We are almost literally awash in news. I mean, we are almost up to our ankles in stories, not just from today, but things that seemed really pressing yesterday that we never got to. About every 10 minutes there's some fantastic story or some Republican lawmakers getting busted at a men's restroom somewhere offering to perform an indecent act for $20. So there's that.
You have Larry Flint.
Oh, there's Larry Flint. We got that Vitter guy. The Vitter guy who apparently is all about the sanctity of marriage, except when there's like a whorehouse set up near his own home, in which case he can't. Allegedly, in which case he can't wait to patronize it repeatedly. And here's my question about that guy.
Well, God already forgave that.
Here's my question about that guy is, and we'll talk more about this with Jim Roop of all people, because he's covering the sort of Flint angle, and we got Bob Costantini coming up later on as well. What I don't get is, Vitter is the first guy nailed by this whole sting into the D.C. matter, right? When she posted all of her clients' phone numbers on the website, and then they started matching phone numbers with whatever. And again, be very clear about this. We're not prudes on the Rick Emerson Show. We're open-minded. Whatever anybody chooses to do in their private life is fine. But you can't be some dick hypocrite, usually but not always Republican, out there babbling about the family values and the sanctity of marriage and lecturing other people on their moral behavior, and then be sticking it to some whore down the road. That doesn't really work. And so you've got this guy who they have found out about because they are prosecuting. They are prosecuting this prostitute, and yet he is, more than apparently, it seems almost certain he's a client, and yet they're not prosecuting him, which irritates me. I mean, it's not like prostitution ought to be illegal in the first place. It ought not to be. But if they're going to prosecute her, it seems like they ought to be sticking that guy in a hoose cow somewhere as well. The whole thing is just mystifying to me. So, so we got Bob Noodles Costantini coming up later on today. He'll talk about that and Iraq, where democracy is flourishing like some sort of electorate-based kudzu. Jim Roop, Steve Kastenbaum will join us today. We'll talk about, I guess, that beauty queen... So-called, in New Jersey. It's like a Gresham beauty queen. I heard a great word yesterday, Greshamphetamine. Those are sort of like a Clackamas, sort of a bar set out there. The New Jersey beauty queen has apparently revealed what these photographs were that she
showed being... them on the Today Show.
Really? Did you see them?
I did not. But apparently her boyfriend is suckling up to her bosom.
Fantastic. So, we've got that. Apparently, there's something to where she's, like, lying in her back with her bed, her legs spread, like, in the back of a pickup truck or something. Because they're all class out there in Camden. So we got that. So the Steve Kastenbaum will join us about that. Oh, we'll talk about that Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary update that just came out. We didn't get a chance to get to that yesterday. Apparently, the Webster's Dictionary now lists the word ginormous. So we will talk to him about that and other stories of things. We'll do today's top five, more news than you can shake a big shaky thing at, and we'll talk to Scotty J., who's efforting to quit smoking, and he has now turned that over to us. This is sort of like when the state schools continue to fail all of their assessment tests and the children start to be left behind and the state just comes in and takes over the schools because the teachers are clearly not getting the job done. That's what happened to Scotty. Because Scotty agreed, just give a little bit of backstory here, and then we'll do introductions. We'll talk about what's coming up in the news. We'll take these calls. Talk about my new shrink, who I saw last night, who, seriously, it's like they wanted to find goddamn insurance company. I mean, look, I have health insurance, so I shouldn't complain that loudly. I am one of the relatively small number of people in this country who have health insurance, but good Christ. I mean, I had to wait 14 weeks. Do you know how many times I could have killed myself in 14 weeks? Apparently, it doesn't matter. They, like 195th and something in Gresham. I mean, just as far away as you can possibly imagine. Just the places you have to drive through to get to my shrink are enough to make you suicidal. You know what I mean? You know how many boarded up buildings I had to drive by to get to my shrink's office? And then you're sitting there asking yourself, what kind of a shrink really gets stuck operating in this hellhole of a neighborhood? Really? I don't even know how she gets to work without being shot several times. I mean, that's enough to depress you. If you don't have problems, by the time you get to the shrink's office deep in the nether reaches of Gresham, you will be depressed. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. But Scotty has been endeavoring to quit smoking. And by endeavoring, I mean failing to quit smoking. He's tried 15, 20, 30 times, something like that. He's been smoking for 20 years. And he made an agreement on this program about 6 weeks ago because we offered to help him. OMSI wanted to help him quit smoking. The Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And you think that they're sharp guys. They wanted to help Scotty quit smoking, and Scotty gave me the old line, which, you know, smokers sometimes do. He says, well, I just don't want to quit right now. I'm not ready, and so it would not be advantageous. And we said, okay. But we extracted from Scotty a promise that when he was ready to quit smoking, when he was wanting to quit smoking, he would alert us and that he would then put it in our hands and we would be allowed to choose the method by which he quit smoking, so long as we did not cause him physical harm that lasted in any real way. So as long as we weren't using like a cattle prod or something on him. So it did. So it turns out that as of Monday, he started using the patch. That lasted one day. Because on Tuesday, first thing he did, he woke up.
No, 2 days if you count the other day when he put it back on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was I thinking? He had a patch on Monday and Wednesday. On Tuesday, he peeled it off so he could smoke a lot. So, anyway, so Scotty came on the show yesterday and agreed that it is now in the hands of the Rick Emerson Show, listeners, audience, to make sure that he stays on the straight and narrow, stays on the wagon, and does not fall victim to the devil of tobacco ever again. And so we got some great suggestions yesterday. We narrowed it down to some really fine ideas. And I think by the end of today's program, we'll decide upon the method, and then we will take steps to make sure that that starts happening. So we'll talk about that here in a little while. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get these calls and stuff here in a while. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Oh, it's a little cold in here.
You're wearing your halter top again. Your deep-frying halter top.
It is. It's true. Well, it's the only halter top I have, and all my bike riding, I'm starting to get really, like, bad tan lines. So I'm going to try. I think I'm going to try rocking the halter top all summer.
Really? This is a bold step for you.
I know. But I'm getting all these weird strap lines everywhere, and I can't, you know, wear anything else that exactly matches up.
Scotty wants to know if you washed the halter top.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Not my question. Just Scotty wants to know.
Did he ask really, too?
Did she wash it? No. And then no. No, apparently he was just speculating. Well, no, it's me because I wear glasses, but you know you get really blinding sun, especially coming across the bridge. You get the glint off the water, and so well you've seen those big ass retarded Yoko Ono sunglasses I wear because I don't.
I was there with you when you bought them.
Yeah, because I don't have prescription lenses. I just never went to the trouble of getting those, and I don't want to have to carry. You know, but prescription lenses and whatever. And I don't get those ones that tint when you go out and then you come inside and they lighten up again. Because then it's like, hello, 1985. And that doesn't work. And I don't want to have, like, clip-on things. And contacts I do have, but when I have allergies, you all, if you know you have allergies, you know, the contacts are just a no-go anytime the hay fever season. Anytime, like, ragweed or pollen or dust kicks up and your contacts just become, it's just a living hell. So what I've got are these big, these huge, like, Terminator X Public Enemy sunglasses.
They are just as bad as they sound, too.
They're huge.
And they also have not only the sunglasses in the front, but the sunglass windows on the sides,
yeah,
too.
They're sunglasses that are so huge, they completely fit over my regular corrective glasses. They're massive. And I can't even imagine the tan line that I'm going to eventually get from those things. I mean, I won't have, because sometimes you'll see a guy who falls asleep in the sun while he's out fishing or something, and he'll get, like, the tan line around his sunglasses. But this is like the full-on huge, I mean, they're massive. They're about 4 inches high, and they wrap all the way around, all the way back down the side to my ears. I mean, they're massive. So I got to be real careful about that, because otherwise I'm just going to have a big, like, brick of white right in the middle of my face where they cover.
Yeah, that's why I brought, like, my smallest sunglasses.
Yeah, well, see, you know, but you have pretty good vision, though.
It's okay. Well, when I was working on Coin and getting no sleep, my eyes started getting really bad, and I actually had to get glasses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, staring at the computer all day and then not sleeping.
Now, do you need glasses? You just choose not to wear them at this point?
I should wear... I don't really think I need to, but I have, like, a light prescription that I can wear for looking at computers.
Is your vision deteriorating? Is it getting worse?
I think so.
See, so someday you'll be in there. Someday you'll be in that boat. You'll be like me, because I have to wear these, because I'm almost blind without these, so I don't wear these, I'm a host. All right, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
About $300 million was stolen from a Baghdad bank today. A sex offender and a police dog chasing him fall off a Troutdale cliff. A Washington burglar is beaten with golf clubs in the back.
Excellent.
Canby has an earthquake. Canby almost runs out of water. A creepy psychologist is accused of videotaping a lady patient in his bathroom. Miss New Jersey shows revealing photos of herself on today's show. Could cause her to lose her crown. A babbling baby causes a mom to be booted off a plane. There's going to be lots of lightning tonight. And CBS will not allow Katie Couric out of the anchor chair for 5 more years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah, team player.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
Oh, and Beijing steam buns include cardboard and chemicals.
They're going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing is in China, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Chinese trying to kill all of us.
Capital of China.
All right. Katie Couric, 5 more years, really?
5 more years.
Do you read? 5 long, long, expensive, unfixable years. Yeah, that's $70 million. All right. Well.
And what's your winning for our TV?
I was just going to say, you know, and of
that
course
TV
we don't...
That TV couldn't have cost more than a couple hundred dollars.
We have microphone buttons here that cost 15 cents to fix, and we can't get those taken care of.
Sure.
Do you know how many microphones... We can cover the entire studio in televisions for $70 million.
Cover Katie Couric with television.
Just cover her with something else. Just cover her with a tarp. Just do the news from underneath her. Hello, I'm... All right. Well, let's just get a couple of these calls, and then we'll talk about it. Well, we'll talk about my shrink. We'll do that. If we have time, we'll check in with Scotty J. Scotty's got some other things we need to talk to him about as well. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. I'm really hoping I don't set off, like, some two-hour-long conversation on this, but great movies you never have to see more than once. I was going to add 8mm.
See, I didn't really care for 8mm all that much. 8mm, Nicolas Cage,
I
James Gandolfini.
I always wanted to see that, too.
I thought it was a really good movie, and it's really intensifying, and the storyline's really plot-twisting and blah, 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 whatever. But it was just one of those movies. It's like you felt like you had a shower after you got home.
Here's my thing about 8mm. I'm a little prejudiced about 8mm, which is the it is a movie written by Andrew Kevin Walker, who wrote 7, and it was his follow-up script to 7. Stars Nicolas Cage, James Gandolfini, and what's-his-name, Joaquin Phoenix.
And don't forget the dude from Sopranos.
James Gandolfini.
Oh,
plays
sorry,
the guy. Yeah, he's in it. Everybody acts really great except for Nicolas Cage, who's terrible.
Yeah, he just kind of slaps his way through the movie.
It's a great concept. The hook of the film is that the premise of the film is that a rich woman's husband dies, and while she's going through his possessions, she finds like a little 8mm snuff film. And she hires a private detective to find out, like, is this real and why did my husband own it? So it's a great premise. And then Nicolas Cage has to go, as they always do, into the seamy underbelly of the pornographic world. It's a great movie, and but Joel Schumacher, who directed it, who also was single-handedly responsible for ruining the Batman and Robin franchise, thanks, he took the movie and sort of denuded it a little bit. He made it a little toothless. It's a good movie. It has great moments in it. Here, let me recommend this, though, sir. If you like 8mm, go find a movie called Hardcore, starring George C. Scott, that came out in about 1978. 8mm is based in large part on a movie called Hardcore, about a guy whose daughter vanishes, and then, I forget, it was like some anonymous tip or some whatever, his daughter vanishes, and then he glimpses her in a porn film a couple years later, and his whole thing is he's, again, journeying into the porn world to find out how his daughter ended up being in this horrific porn film. It's called Hardcore, George C. Scott. Seek it out.
I will definitely see if Blockbuster has it tonight.
Don't see if... Why do you have to say things like that? Don't see if Blockbuster has it. Wait, does Blockbuster advertise with us? Client alert.
No.
Client alert. Well, they probably won't. Blockbuster typically doesn't stock things.
Probably
I mean,
not.
If you're looking for something that has like a singing
more than
squirrel.
2 years old, they probably don't have
yeah.
it. But.
I mean, if you're looking for something where there's a whole lot of waterfowl that dance in a circle and they all learn a lesson at the end, they'll probably have that. For Hardcore, you might have to go to Movie Madness on 41st and Belmont.
Been there.
All right.
We'll check it out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There you go. I'll go to Blockbuster. Yeah, you do that. Get me 40 pounds of red vines while you're there. Okay, final call, then we'll talk other stuff. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to tell you about a fun game to play out in Clackamas if you're ever unfortunate enough to be out there.
Okay.
You got to count the dream catchers hanging from the rearview mirrors.
Is that sort of like when you punch people for a Volkswagen Bug, except it's punching for a dream catcher?
Yeah, and then you can kind of tally up points based on what neon color they are.
Imagine what kind of dreams one must catch in Clackamas. Really, you know.
Yeah,
I wonder who my dad is. What dreams? I want to move out of this box. I can't imagine what dreams there are to catch in that city.
I don't know what the Clackamites dream of, but
they dream of moving to St. John's. All right.
Excellent. Wow, that's moving up.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. That was funny. Two funny calls in a row. We're not going to screw up the average. We're going to quit taking calls right now. It's 503-733-2970. I just have a few observations to make about my shrink last night, and we probably won't have time to talk to Scotty
so
right now.
So is this going to be another complaining session about your shrink? This one isn't good enough either?
Somebody's projecting. Hello?
No, but I had to sit here and deal with you whining about the other guy for a long time.
Well, he was
maybe
a tool.
You should...
He was an ass.
Have you ever stopped to look inside and maybe realize that it's not everybody else's problem? Maybe it's a Rick Emerson problem?
Maybe I'm the ass. Now I don't even know what to do. Now I'm on this existential funhouse mirror of a soul search. Is it me? Am I Rick Emerson truly the ass? Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home. No, she was great. No, because it's a girl. It's a woman. And I think that I just don't deal well with male shrinks. I think that's my thing. And also, he was a tool. And he kept quoting, like, Bible verses to me. And that's nowhere... No, sir, I'm sorry. They weren't Bible verses or such, but he kept saying, like... As Elijah Muhammad said, he actually said at one point. And then he was like... And then he said something about, like, well, the Bible says... And I, you know, and that's... I don't mean to knock anybody, but that's just... When you go to a shrink who studies, what do they call it, science and stuff, and they go to school where they learn things that aren't made up, you would like to think that he wouldn't have, well, as Dr. Seuss once said, like, you would hope for some deeper insight. And so that was he was just not getting anywhere with me, and he was just kind of a dick, and so F him. But I went to this shrink last night, and she was actually pretty great, kind of cute, too. She's not really my type. But the longer she talked to me, the more attractive she became. So she has this kind of a... She's Southern, and so she has this kind of a...
Did you spend the whole time trying to get her to like you?
Kind of hot Texas accent. Yeah, well, that's what I do. But I find that usually is the better... Because, see, then if I think the shrink is cute or attractive in any way, then I try to become charming. And as you know, from your long experience on this radio program, me trying to be... I always just end up just babbling on and on and on until I tell every thought that's in my head. You know, and usually buried somewhere in there, like flowers in the dustbin, is something that's worthwhile. So it was good. It was cool. She was great. And let me just say this. She works in one, and you know how you go to the shrink office, and there's always like five shrinks that work in there, and there's like the reader board up front that lists all the people there.
Mm-hmm.
There's her, and I don't give her last name, but there's her, And then, I swear to God, right underneath her is there somebody, Dr. Tongue. Right in
Were you mad you didn't get Dr. Tongue?
I don't even know if Dr. Tongue's a man or a woman. Hi, I'm Dr. Tongue. I mean, how great would
that
be?
That's the greatest last name ever.
Seriously. I mean, I don't know if it's great or terrible. If you were a doctor and your last name is Tongue, I don't know whether you'd keep it. I guess it would depend on what branch of medicine you worked in.
I had a dentist named Dr. Nash.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
With a G?
No, not with a G. Just N-A-S-H.
Oh, that's pretty great. Yeah. Dr. Tongue. Dr. Tongue will see you now. That's what the guy who guards Gene Simmons' backstage suite says to you. Dr. Tongue is in. Anyway, so there you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We're probably going to break here, don't we?
Sure do.
So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Bob Costantini, Steve Kastenbaum. At some point, maybe in this hour, we'll try to do a little Scotty J talk. Then we have the new news hour coming up with Tim Riley. Later on, the top five and James Rippey. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum, James Roop, the top five, the new news hour, and more of Scotty J's attempt to quit smoking. Valiantly is how he's doing that. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. From the Hill! CNN radio correspondent and journalistic firebrand, Bob Costantini!
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Bob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Actually, it's good morning there. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Is it? Yes. In fact, it is. Thank you for the... This is exactly the kind of gold standard accuracy that we expect from you, Bob Costantini. This is what makes you stand apart, stand above, stand tall, looking down on all others beneath you, as though you were Yertle the Turtle.
Because I can figure out the time change.
Don't knock figuring out the time change. I apparently couldn't do it. All right. So there's, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And this has sort of been an ongoing, saga, this business of, I sense that there is this internal struggle with the GOP where there is someone, and I suspect it's George W. Bush, and everyone else on the other side of the Iraq line, in terms of how they position the Iraq war, in terms of how they talk about troop drawdown. And a lot of people sort of say, a lot of people like to think that George W. Bush is just sort of a puppet whose strings are held by others, whether it's Karl Rove or Dick Cheney or whoever. But it does really seem, and I was talking to Lisa about this the other day, it does seem that Bush really is calling the shots in a very real way on this, because I think my read on it is, if it was left up to sort of the power brokers in the GOP, they would be caving to public opinion right now. But it is, and maybe your read on this, it does seem like it's George Bush himself, personally, who is spearheading this effort to maintain our presence in Iraq exactly as it is.
Well, it's clear here on Capitol Hill, Rick, that a lot of Republicans are beginning to even feel more uneasy about this war than they felt earlier. And the benchmark report that came out today, which showed a very mixed bag of results, including the idea that politically the Iraqis are not making anywhere near as much progress as seems to be being made on the battlefield, at least according to this report. That doesn't give them any great comfort, it seems, and the Democrats have responded pretty much as you might expect, denouncing the results of this report. And then the battle still goes on here on Capitol Hill. A little later on today, the House is going to take up another resolution regarding a withdrawal time frame, and that may very well pass because Democrats control the House and can do so easily. While here on the Senate side, again, the debate goes on about the funding of the war and the Defense Appropriations Bill, which is up on the floor now for the next couple of weeks, and whether or not the war, there should be some sort of time frame set for withdrawing troops and whether to, how to defund the war, if you will. That's still going on here, and whether or not the Democrats can get the required 60 votes to actually pass something here.
So when the GOP is talking to the White House, what is the general tone of discussion between Republican lawmakers and the Bush administration when they sit down and talk about Iraq? Is it sort of tentative support? Is it reluctant support? Is it bewilderment? Is it questioning? I mean, what are the lawmakers saying to the Bush administration?
I would still, by and large, describe it as tentative support. But you have a number of moderate Republicans who've decided that, you know, there needs to be some sort of change with Iraq policy, and they don't believe that it is, you know, what is happening, even with the surge, that things are working. And, of course, the White House today and the president's news conference and some of the Republicans who are just back from Iraq also came and talked with reporters here on Capitol Hill saying, you know, we still need to give the surge more time. It's only been just a little less than a month that all of the forces have been put in place and have been moved around and that kind of thing. So, you know, again, the word from the White House and the word from the Republican leadership on Capitol Hill here is wait until September when the new, well, relatively new American commander, General David Petraeus, will make his report known, and then we'll have a better idea, at least, of how this so-called troop surge is going. But, of course, that hasn't stopped the Democrats from jumping all over this report, Rick.
All right, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Are you on tomorrow, Bob Costantino?
I will be here, yes.
Excellent. We will have speaks with you then, undoubtedly. Until then, enjoy your day.
Thank you, always, sir. My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent and political firebrand, Bob Costantino!
You're going to hurt yourself some of these days.
It never gets old. Rick, this email says... here we go. This is the last email we're going to take about this. Not to get off into... And this guy can tell, too. It says, not to get off into a whole thing here, but I went to a dentist named Dr. Drool. Anyway. All right, there you go. Hey, did Scotty bring you those cinnamon sun chips?
No, I paid for them, but then I tried to open them and they got stuck in the machine.
It's 2007. Doesn't it seem like we ought to be able to have a vending machine that doesn't have food hang up on the goddamn spring?
All right, I'm going to try one.
Wait, hold on. No, don't eat it yet. Now, this is now...
What is that food that we're thinking of?
It's like a...
A churro.
Churro, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to tell what we're describing.
Well,
talking
these
about.
Are new sun chips cinnamon.
But they're cinnamon. Now, we have a lot of sun chips here in the machine at work, and I love sun chips. I'll tell you that. I'm under no illusion that they're healthy, but I do love sun chips. They are fantastic. I love all flavors of sun chips.
Oh, they're not that bad for you.
But they just put out this sun chip called... it's a cinnamon sun chip. It's like a dessert sun chip, and I don't know that that could possibly be good. All right, you have to eat one.
Okay.
I just sense it's going to leave a brackish kind of aftertaste in your mouth.
No, it's good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Can I try one?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The thing I like about sun chips...
It's good because it has cinnamon, but then it has that sun chip aftertaste.
They're okay. If these were around, I'd eat them. I don't know that I'll buy these over the other flavor. I like they have that French onion flavor. Like, I don't know that I would buy these over the others, but this is not bad.
I bet this is fascinating to people. Let's just taste food on the air.
I don't care. This is great.
Man, Bob Costantini's back to hating you.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. Bob loves me. Bob's afraid of his love for me.
I wish you'd stop calling him a political fireball, because then he can tell that you're being cheeky.
Cheeky. Really? Is that what I'm being? All right. Well, before we do anything else, we got the Steve Castleman coming up in a few, but let's,
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
On the neck.
Good morning, Metolia.
In the ear.
Fantastic. I'm being cheeky. I'm being a wiseacre. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J. joining us now. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Sodaville.
Don't encourage him.
I'm sorry. It's funny. I can't lie to the people. That's funny. How are you, Scotty?
Good. These are real places that I come up with here.
You don't need to justify.
You don't come up with them.
I have a map now, and I just kind of take the finger.
Yes, he came up with them. You named them all.
No, I take my finger, close my eyes, and just that's where it ends up. Yesterday it was Doofer.
What an exciting life you must have. Hey, can we talk about the fact that your wife just quit her job? Oh, sorry.
No, she did. She did quit.
Was it the same day that she was sending you hateful text messages?
Yes, and so I got the two confused.
This is the day of Monday, the day after Vanilla Ice, or the first day back after Vanilla Ice. We were playing all those drunken Scotty tapes where he's all, "How do you feel his anger?"
And I'm sure she's heard me.
But
like
I think
that
we should probably
though.
Play one because maybe some people don't know what you're talking about.
You think people might be? They might be out of the loop.
Oh,
they
I
might
think
not know what we're
at this point.
Might not know what we're discussing here. So Scotty was feeling no pain. Is
what
they
are
say.
Some words that would describe Vanilla Ice's personality? Having met him, like you did.
Oh, dude, totally persuasive, totally wants you to believe his ice.
do you guys believe his ice?
I do, more than anything.
And he is a good entertainer. He's really good, then.
So on Monday, your wife was sending you hateful text messages. And
yeah,
then
and
she,
I got the two confused.
And then she quit her job.
Yeah, it was
you
all...
told me she sent a message that was something like... Screw you, Scotty J, blah, 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 blah. By the way...
A good week in the J household,
And then she signed it, by the way, I just quit my job.
Yeah, we're eating ramen.
She was the only one with a real job, dude.
Exactly.
Wait, yeah, that's right. What are you going to do?
Bus tables. Pick berries after
the
show.
Is the DJ business quite lucrative?
Now,
oh,
she,
I don't...
Is she
know.
Moving on to another job, though?
Yeah, I think she's going to do real estate elsewhere.
You're not really sure. She didn't include you in.
Do you guys talk anymore?
This is, you know how the, you know what the next scene in this movie is? This is you. So, honey, open the door. Big, empty house. Wood, you know, wood
note
floors.
Note tacked on the fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm taking the kids to my mom's.
Exactly. Either a note on the fridge or, again, just like a wood.
Actually, there would be a truck in the front yard and the fridge would be going out the front door
wooden,
and I'd catch the movers.
Wooden floor, drapes open, sunlight streaming into the house, which is now completely devoid of any furniture, and a note on a yellow piece of paper.
With some dust bunnies and paper clips on the ground.
Love ya. Bye-bye.
And a note laying in the middle of the floor in the living room. Like, you know, have taken kids and left. Do not contact.
I hope radio was worth it.
Oh, and please clean up dog urine on the rug. Bye-bye.
Hope radio mistress
this
is
sucks,
worthwhile.
Because I can see it as if it's already happened.
Yeah.
Does radio really tear relationships apart?
Yes, it does, Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you even asking? Are you asking rhetorically? Were you just being...
Hey, Sarah, how's
I forgot
your,
about my life.
How's your relationship?
I was just going to say.
Yeah, because all mine have gone just swimmingly.
Were you asking that right now like a science book question? Like, you know, does radiation affect cellular growth? Let's take a look, shall we?
Yeah. Maybe this is something I should consider before entering the field of radio.
Seriously, now, you know, and people, well, now we're getting off track and we won't be able to talk about your big gay kissing that's coming up. But
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Well,
I think someone has some stress in his life. I think he's going to be smoking some cancer stuff.
You know, when you're all alone in the home, there will no one to tell you not to smoke.
We have to have a Scotty sniffer.
A Scotty sniffer.
Smell him if he's smoked or not.
What if we can test his urine?
A scratch and sniff Scotty. Okay, I went too far.
That's disgusting.
Ew.
I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, but, you know, when they'll send these kids in to talk to me about, you know, kids, young people, they'll talk about getting into radio. Or when people will, you know, whatever, they'll write me. And, like, you get a lot in radio, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but you get a lot of people in radio that will write to you. And they're like, Dear Rick, I am so-and-so, and I would love to get into the exciting field of radio. I have a lot to say about things and would enjoy having a radio program. What advice do you have for someone like myself? Stop that, please.
What are you doing? Scotty. He's like putting chips in his mouth and rubbing his face on the microphone.
I'm trying a sun chip.
We've done that gag already.
That bit has already been done.
They're not that bad.
The point is, people will come in and they'll talk to me about being in radio, or they'll ask me casually about being in radio, and the first thing I always say, and they always think you're kidding, because I'll say, like, here's the thing. You're going to have to move to a bunch of small asshole markets that you hate. You're going to have to work for no money.
Like Sodaville.
Exactly. You're going to move all the time. You're going to hate your life. You're going to have terrible shifts. You're going to be tired constantly. You're going to be bitter. You'll probably be evicted from your home at least once. And whoever you're with right now will probably leave you at some point. It will destroy any number of your personal relationships. I've lost count. I can't even tell you.
Well, I will say I've been a little bitter lately, but that's due to nicotine withdrawal.
Well, you know what the cure for that is?
Smoke?
Sweet love.
Oh.
But these are these poor guys who come in, and usually guys who come in and they talk to me about being a radio, and you can tell that they think I'm doing a bit, that like I'm I'm trying to be funny when I describe, like, if you have a girlfriend or a wife or whoever, somebody you're dating, it's like, this is going to be very, very taxing.
It was like the guy
that.
Who told us not to cross the street in New Orleans or else we'd get mugged and
no,
yeah,
he
be
was
really scared.
For
so I
real.
He just didn't, yeah, I thought he just didn't want us to go walking around his neighborhood. Right. In turn, we almost got mugged.
Yeah,
and
see?
Turned out it was actually real.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I've lost count, that's not really true, but it is sort of the same in that, I mean, I had at least two serious relationships that ended, because I spent so much time at work and I had to move, and it's like, hey, I'm, you know, when I'm moving
really,
disconnected.
Well, you kind of lose your filter, too, because, you know, this isn't interesting unless we're sitting there talking about what's actually going on in our lives, not sugarcoated.
Totally, exactly. And after a while, I think you just get to a place where it either is just, like, destroying your relationships, or you get to a point where you just decide that it's easier just not to have any serious relationships while you're at least in the stages of building your career. So I always tell people that, and they, you know, they never listen. All right, well, whatever you're gonna do. Let's see, what am I? Okay, so Scotty. So first things first, before we even get to your big gay kissing that's coming up, I should talk about Gabe Kaplan. So you know,
yes.
Gabe Kaplan is in town tomorrow for AM Northwest over at KJ, where our good friend Carl Click works, and. In fact, he has a new book out, too. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be at Powell Bookstore at 7 p.m. on Friday.
He has a new book out called Connor's Back, and it's something like, it's like a fate, and it has a great subtitle, too. It's something like, A Faded Celebrity Sends Email to a Befuddled World, or something like that. And it's got the old school 70s picture of him in the front. So he's reading at Powell's, and he's on AM Northwest. I know that you, Scotty, and this is true, you have been nagging me for the longest time to get Gabe Kaplan on the show.
I know, and then AM Northwest gets it again. It's kind of funny because they kind of snagged David Cassidy from us, too.
Yeah, so they're sworn on him. So what have you done to get Gabe Kaplan booked?
I talked to the publicist yesterday.
And by talk to, do you mean left a message with?
No, I talked with her, her, and she was like, oh, and I told her all about the show and that the audience is totally, you know, welcome back Carter-centric.
Welcome back, Carter.
Carter.
Did you say that?
No.
When you were talking to the publicist, they love Welcome Back, Carter.
No.
We'd love to have Gab Kiplin on the show.
And I told her we want to talk poker. Mainly I do. But she laughed about that and sounded all excited. And then she said, well, like they all do, they come up with some kind of weird excuse.
You were unable to close, weren't you?
I gave her the subtle close.
Let me.
Oh, because that worked so well the last
time. Yeah, I was going to say, the subtle
Let's
close.
Let's go to our new sponsors. They didn't come here.
I tell you what, the
Seriously.
Subtle close I gave that guy worked.
Let me just
and
back
he
up.
He tried to mimic me with his partners.
Let me just
and he
back,
do
let
it.
Me back up here. Scotty is referring to, we went to a great restaurant, and I won't give their name, but we went to,
Why
for
not?
Reasons that will become clear, we went out to dinner at a great restaurant. They were talking about maybe becoming an advertiser. Nothing was really certain. It was, you know, sort of, you know, we were unclear about whether that was going to be happening. Anyway, so the three of us, Scotty, Sarah, myself, got to dinner. Scotty just gets blind drunk about it. Oh, don't shake your head.
Blind.
Scotty just gets like it never happened. Seriously, my hand's over the play button right now. Do you need the proof? So Scotty just gets unbelievably drunk at this restaurant and then later goes, I gave that guy the real subtle close. He's a lock. And then what do we hear like 3 days later? The client has decided not to advertise. Thanks so much. We'd love for him to be a sponsor. That's not going to happen. Thanks so much for eating here. Bye. So you're the last time you gave a guy a subtle close, he like burned our business card and won't answer our calls. So if you gave Gabe Kaplan the same subtle close, I think we can just sort of write off any idea that he's going to be on the show.
Well, she started talking about how he hasn't been feeling well in the last few days,
uh-huh.
And he's totally booked.
I got a friend from out of town, baby. I'd love to get together, but oh, so
every
busy.
Star I talk to lately has some kind of excuse.
Every star you talk to lately. What stars have you talked to recently?
I couldn't even name the.
Are these stars in your exciting guest book that you
yes.
spent like $50 for?
And all I got was addresses.
No, the great. We'll talk about that later on. Your fantastic guest book that you nagged me to spend $50 on, and I told you.
Don't do it.
Where did you find this guest book advertised?
On the internet.
Okay, so this is, we're just using an entire segment with Scotty here, but Scotty comes up to us about 2 months ago, and he's like, I found the best thing on the internet. I'm like, what's that, Scotty? It's like, I found this great book that they sell that has contact information for thousands of stars. And it sounded like he was reading the copy.
And stars, which is the cutest thing ever.
B stars. Apparently, it's all of these celebrities. Like, this book has the contact information for all kinds of celebrities. Imagine the celebrities we could book on the show. And I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's a book you buy. And I said, how much is it? And he's like, $50? And I told you, I'm like, dude, it's a scam. None of those books ever have real contact information. It's always a ruse. And he's like, come on, $50. We just get it out of the case, you know, out of the KCMD budget, you know, out of the AM970 budget. Buy this book. And I'm like, dude, it's not going to work. Save your money.
That was 50% of the budget, wasn't
totally.
It?
Totally. That's like half our annual fiscal set aside.
And they'll throw in a complimentary map to the homes of the stars.
Oh, totally. They did.
So,
oh man,
I tell Scotty, I'm like, it's a scam. We're not going to buy some stupid guest booking book because it's not going to be. There's going to be nothing in it that we can use. The next thing I know, Scotty comes up and he's like, I bought it myself. I put it on my Visa card. I'm like, all right, dude, you know, whatever. Like, at that point, there's nothing I can do to stop him. So
I had my fingers crossed just waiting for the book to arrive. And when it arrived, I'm like, what the?
He takes the book out. And I've written down here a note to myself about the Black Guest Book, which makes it seem like it's a book for black guests, which it's really not. It is, but it's this...
Cool in the Gang.
Would you like a book?
About, George Benson.
Would you like a book full of popular black guests for your program? No, it's just this big ass black book, like a big black phone book, full of guest booking information. Except
not so much information.
There are no phone numbers. There are no email addresses. There are nothing but mailing addresses to P.O. boxes for various
it's a
stars.
Fan clubs.
That's basically what
stars.
It is. It's like, would you like to, you know, would you like to book, you know, John Stamos? Please now to be sending a letter to this post office box. So that's like $50 that you'll never be able to get back again. So well done, Scotty.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
Anyway, she here's
so
the moral
Gabe
of the
Kaplan,
story.
If I were to ask you right now. You're a gambling man. If Gabe Kaplan would be on the show tomorrow, what odds would ye put on that?
Well, the fact that I explained such an entertaining show to this gal, and she comes back with the, well, he's not feeling so well, I'm going to give it about a 40% chance.
Uh-huh. Really? That high?
She was excited. Maybe we should have her on the show in place of him. Mm-hmm. She was, like, ultra
excited.
Let's have
a publicist on the show.
Yeah, she was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should
great.
Just do that. Let's not even interview Gabe Kaplan. Let's just interview some minimum wage flack at his PR company.
Hey, now.
Imagine who gets a job in repping Gabe Kaplan to radio stations. Imagine how low on the celebrity and the showbiz ladder ye must have fallen to do that. All right. Let's see. Rick, well, here's an email about your quit smoking method. We don't have time to do it. We'll do that at like 1 o'clock.
So did Steve just not call?
Yeah, what was Steve casting on? He never called us.
I don't know. Laura seemed kind of mad at me.
I'll go ahead and look into it for you, Rick.
Look into it, but realize that even if he agrees to do it now, we'll have to. I'm not even sure where we'll put him because, I mean, if he's able to do it, we'll talk to him, but I want to figure out where we're going to put him because we got all this stuff to do.
At the opening of the hour for 2 minutes?
It's probably not even worth it because I want to talk about this dictionary thing.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is now it's like
I
want to
know what
days
that
old.
Ginormous thing is all about.
I'm just saying I don't even really know where he would go because we got Rupert 1, and he's been up since like 4 in the morning. So, you know, we may just have to scratch it for today.
Okay, then there's no need for me to follow up.
Well, you should follow up, though.
I have things to do, Rick.
You don't have things to do. Here's why you should follow up. You should follow up with CNN. To find out why he never called us.
Okay.
In other words, you should follow for the same reason we always do, so we can assign blame. So I want to know whose fault it is.
Okay.
So
well, yeah, you heard me talking to Laura.
Oh, I know.
And
no,
she was in a pissy mood today.
Oh, I'm
too.
Pretty sure I know whose fault it is. I like to know for certain. So if you can find out exactly why Steve Kastenbaum failed to call us, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you about smoking later on.
Sounds great.
All right. We've already got several men who are interested in kissing you.
Do you think maybe one of them will sing Paris by the Dashboard Light with me? That has to be one of the...
While he kisses Scotty?
No, but that's one of the things since I lost my singing partner.
So you are auditioning not only a singing partner for your karaoke nights, but someone who will also kiss Scotty J.
Is that too much?
No. Well, I guess we'll find out. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break here. Come back with Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth of the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Jim Roop, the top five, and men audition to kiss Scotty J. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be right back. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it is the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Now, can you imagine this happening? A 25-year-old Pendleton man spent almost 5 hours pinned in a log truck he was driving when he rolled it on a highway. Jason Hall lost control of the truck, went across the highway onto his shoulder. The truck and trailer overturned onto the driver's side as the logs hit the rear of the cab. So they used personnel from Elgin and the LeGrand Fire Departments to take him out. So he has a serious injury, but pinned by a log truck for 5 hours.
Especially because if you have those logs and those are what is sort of compressing the cab and you're just waiting for something to shift. But they got him out, he's fine.
Well, he's not five, but
I mean, he's alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
All right. So that's always the litmus test for whether or not we can make fun of it. Living but in terrible condition, we can still make fun of it. And not even really making fun, just talking about we have this thing about logging trucks on the show, and because they're terrifying.
They're fearful.
Yeah, they're awful. I mean, that's the single most terrifying vehicle on the road. And then the idea that at any moment the logs might just shift and just finish the job by, squish like grape, as Mr. Miyagi would say, just compressing that cabin down. Here's another thing that freaks me out. When you're driving on any kind of highway, and Oregon has these, where you'll see those truck runoff ramps, which is like, brakeless or out of control trucks, exit right, half a mile or whatever. And you'll see, and it's those exits that go off the highway right up into like some sort of weird, it's like some sand pit or something off the side of the road that if you are a truck and you've lost your brakes, if you are a runaway truck, you're supposed to steer off the road into one of these sandbanks. And every so often, you'll be driving along and you will see some semi-truck that is in one of those. And just the whole concept of a semi or tractor trailer truck going down one of those long, windy sort of downhill plunges in the depths of Oregon that doesn't have any brakes is just terror. Imagine being some guy. You're driving along in your Ford Festiva, and there's a truck coming up behind you that's going like 100 miles an hour. It's carrying logs, and it has no brakes. I mean, you're in full-on Dennis Weaver territory then. I mean, that's bad. There's nothing more terrifying than that. So, anyway, bad, bad, bad. There you go.
Did you hear about the Canby quake? There was an earthquake in Canby, a 3.3, and some people felt it all the way to Gaston. Somebody was sitting on the bed watching TV.
No.
But they felt a few good jolts.
Please tell me we have sound from some idiot that was sitting there. I was watching TV, and my Jesus of Nazareth knick-knack began to move back and forth.
These are blog entries.
That's even more exciting.
I live in Aurora, and I was watching the TV, but the house began to shake, and I heard a loud rumbling noise.
Is that like up from the ground came a bubbling crude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a 3.3 Canby quake.
Who cares?
People of Canby.
I mean, I don't even know what a 3.3 feels like. Can you even? I mean, I guess people in Canby can notice that. At what point can you feel an earthquake typically?
Like a 2 point something?
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, I was, God, who was I listening to last night? Well, some forgettable, it wasn't this station, it was some forgettable, some other news talk station where there was some dick babbling on about something or other. Mm-hmm. And there was, but they did all of the, in Canby, residents shocked by an earthquake. And then they had the guy, as they always do, the guy going, well, I was just sitting there and I was finishing my Hungry Hombre dinner. And I had finished the burrito and was just about to dive into the cornbread when I felt a slight tremble. And then, they go back to the newsroom and that's the end of the actuality. So, there you go.
Police dog chased a sex criminal off a cliff in Troutdale. Unfortunately, when the man fell, so did the dog. They fell off a 50-foot cliff near the Sandy River. This poor dog has a broken leg. And, let's see, the sex offender has a broken arm. Troutdale police say the man was riding his bike along the Stark Street Bridge, and police started to follow him. Then he dropped his bike and started running down the cliff. Well, they sent the police dog after him, and over the cliff they both went. He's a sex offender from California.
You would think
who just settled in Troutdale.
Well, welcome to Oregon. You would think that the dog would have better sense than that.
Yeah.
Or maybe the dog was attached to him, though. Like, maybe the dog had sunk its teeth into his leg or something.
Yeah.
I was going to say groin, actually. That was going to be the first thing. Maybe the dog had sunk his teeth into part of his scrotum, and then he had just gotten carried off the cliff. I like to think that the dog continued to bite him all the way down.
A psychologist with ties to the University of Washington is accused of videotaping a lady in the bathroom of his office. Stuart Greenberg was arrested After investigators found a videotape recording of his office bathroom and his VCR, he's now under investigation for voyeurism. The woman on the tape told police the footage shows her using the restroom. And who knows what she might look like. Greenberg operates a private practice, but he's also on the faculty of the University of Washington.
Was.
Also, there were other complaints filed against him. Some go back several decades. So he's been at this for quite some time.
I never know this. I mean, we talk a lot about, like, foot fetishes and stuff in the show, but that's another. I never get that. The bathroom fetish. And please don't call and explain it. I don't care enough to, like, want to know. I just don't understand the whole notion of, I'm going to set up a camera so I can see some chick sitting on the toilet. I just don't understand the appeal of that. I'm looking at you, Chuck Berry. Hello, sir. You have a comment on runaway trucks.
Yeah, those downhill ramps, those sand traps they go into.
Yeah.
Not only do they lose their brakes, but if the driver doesn't know what they're doing, their brakes will physically catch on fire.
Imagine seeing that in your rearview mirror.
So now you have a flaming, smoking, out-of-control semi laying on its air horn, telling you to get your Geo out of the way before it becomes part of the truck.
Oh, that would just suck. I mean, you're sitting there, you're driving along, you're having a Pleasant Valley Sunday, as the monkeys would say, with your family, you're looking at the beauty and the majesty of God's creation, and all of a sudden you hear the... You know, and you look in the rearview mirror and there's a log truck on fire with no brakes coming up behind you at 100 miles an hour in your rearview mirror. That's something where you just, your soul exits body right there. Your heart just stops working and that's the end of your life.
I wanted to make you feel better about those whole trucks coming up behind you. You know, the flaming brakes add a special touch to it.
The flaming brakes, so you get that Ghost Rider hint going on
exactly.
There.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, yeah, I'll feel much better about that. No, that you'd just die. I don't even think your brain would accept it. Your brain would just freak out, and then you would just your heart would stop beating. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about, I'm really surprised that last night that the TV stations didn't all go on the air for the next 8 hours and tell us about the earthquake and show us the seismograph at PSU 30, 40 times. And because the last earthquake we had in Malala, that was pretty much the case. They were on the air for 8 hours.
Really?
Yeah, all three stations.
I would think that maybe they wouldn't cover the earthquake because there's nothing for them. Like, you can't really point the camera at the ground to be like, here is the ground that moved.
An arrow pointed at the earth.
That's why they go to the seismograph, you know, 40 or 50 times to show you the little needle bouncing up and down.
Sure, just like they let me just tell you this. News people are never so happy as when they have needles bouncing up and down. Every radio station interview where they just show the needles on the board going back and forth. Yeah. So, well, can be.
Yeah, that's true. And I was just really surprised that they didn't make a field day out of it.
Well, maybe they had. Well, they were too busy talking about how it was hot. That was the big story yesterday. It's also
hot today. Well, if it would have happened during Bush's speech, I would have really hoped that they would have preempted everything and come in.
Indeed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye now.
And it wasn't far from the historic Barlow water pump. There was a sign directing the tourists to that, by the way.
So sad when a water pump exists. Here's a thing where magically water appeared out of the ground in
18.
Canby.
Yeah. No, this is Barlow.
Barlow.
Which is next to the sign that says Buttville this way.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Genius. Okay.
So what you do, take the kids to see the Barlow water pump.
The kids and I are going to Buttville, honey.
Are we almost there, Dad?
We'll be... Daddy, are we almost to Buttville? Soon, son.
Oh, I-5
as soon as mommy goes to work.
I-5 is shut down right now near Woodburn. Two commercial trucks have collided. This is at milepost 274, all you traffic fans. Two men were arrested after they broke into a house in rural Lewis County and started attacking two residents. But they didn't leave without bruises of their own. A third resident stumbled into the break-in and started attacking one of the men with the golf club.
Well done.
The golf attack allowed one of the victims to grab a bat and start beating the other ones, too. So they took off, but they were soon arrested. Injuries and all. And let's see, one guy was found in the field after injured by the bat. He was taken to the hospital and later released with injuries to his head and his knee. Both these men are from Onalaska, Washington. Where is that?
I have no... it's where?
Onalaska.
I don't know. Nobody heard.
This is about an unpaid drug debt.
I used to... He was on the honor system. Yeah. He was advanced credit of some kind.
Yes.
The VIG was just too high. I used to worry, actually, that I would not sound, that people would somehow think I was faking being from the Northwest, because they would talk about some city in Washington, Oregon, and I had no idea what the hell the town was. But you know what? I became zen with it many years ago. You could live here for 30 years and never know all of the tiny little small towns here. And yeah, they're all the same. Starts and ends with a vowel, and there's like five Q's and Z's and K's in the middle of it, and it's some unpronounceable Indian name. So I'm okay with that now. I no longer have that. I no longer worry about that.
Uh-oh. Looks like you better stay away from Beijing rolls.
Uh-oh.
Chopped cardboard, softened with an industrial chemical, and flavored with fatty pork and powdered seasoning. These are the main ingredients of batches of steam buns.
And, you
know, baked
the,
in Beijing.
And, you know, the seasoning is just floor sweepings.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the seasoning is just whatever dust they found laying around on the floor of the warehouse.
China State TV Undercover features shortlist a man wearing shorts, who is the maker of the buns, called...
A man with shorts and no shirt making buns filled with cardboard.
The surroundings are filthy, with water puddles and piles of old furniture and cardboard on the ground.
It's Sarah's neighbor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
What's in the recipe, asked the reporter. 6 to 4, replied the Chinese baker. You mean 60% cardboard? What's the other 40%?
Scrapings.
Fatty meat, said the shirtless
fatty
man.
Fatty meat. What are these? Are these sold in America?
It doesn't say. They probably are at a different name.
I wonder. I was just going to say, I wonder what they're advertised as. I mean, if in China, the guy's so upfront as to say that they're made out of fatty meat and cardboard? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm
steam
no...
Steam buns are what they're called.
I'm no genius, but it does seem like you would notice if you were eating something that was, in fact, just filled with cardboard.
Well, they got 1 billion people, then. What are they supposed to eat?
I mean,
there's no room for the cows to graze.
I suppose. That is a good question, actually. I mean, here's a dumb question. I don't really know the answer to this. Because China is the most populous of countries.
It is.
Not? There's 1 billion people there.
1 billion people.
But I mean, and I know this sounds really stupid, but I mean, is the country massively overcrowded? I mean, it's not a big place. It's a relatively small
place.
It's
a little bit smaller than the U.S. in size.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's...
But they're only allowed to have one child.
Now, is that true, or
is
that an urban legend that they enforce?
No, that is true.
That is
a law.
I don't wish to take us into a dark place with this program, but if you get a second kid, what do they just kick it off a cliff, Sparta style, or what do they do? No,
pretty much that would be it's Planned Parenthood of some sort.
I don't know that it's so. If you start getting larger at work every day, they just come to your house and they that's taken care of forcibly.
Yeah.
You would think.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. All right. Well, in any event, so and they eat cardboard. They're just not like us. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, thieves have stolen $300 billion from a bank in Baghdad today. The thieves were three guards who worked for a bank in Baghdad's Qalandah district. Not that any of this matters anymore.
Who would still have their money in a Baghdad bank? You know? Well, I could use one of them fancy Swiss accounts with Stability, but I'm going to put all my money in Zagreb.
Bank of Baghdad.
One bank. Now, there's a joke there, but I
there
don't
is.
Know where it is.
Well, it's time for Bushwatch. Anyway.
Here's your Bushwatch for Thursday. What day is today? Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Got the whole country staying. That's my bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my bush.
By the way, apparently Laura from CNN is, quote, really sorry about not booking Steve Kastenbaum. That's okay. It's just a radio show.
It's okay if you make mistakes, but just be nice. Sure. You know, it's not that
and
difficult.
Try not to make them once a week. That would also help. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so you probably won't believe your ears when you hear this, but it's par for the course. The president has publicly acknowledged for the first time that somebody in his administration likely leaked the identity of the CIA operative, but it's, quote, time to move on. So he admits it, but it is time to move on. Scooter Libby had a sentence that was, quote, fair and balanced. And the president hopes the controversy...
Did he really say fair and balanced?
Quote, fair and balanced,
I wonder
unquote.
If he just sort of mindlessly...
And the controversy, quote, had run its course, unquote.
I wonder if George Bush is just sort of our own Chauncey Gardner, where he just sort of repeats things. You know, what do you think about... What do you think about the Scooter Libby sentence? contains natural glucose, inspected by 12. He did, would anything in front of whatever he last saw, that's what's sort of on his internal cache. That's what's on his clipboard, and he just mindlessly recites it.
So he has admitted to it, but it is time to move on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, 4 years ago at the beginning of the Iraqi war, the majority of Americans supported the effort, but today the tables have turned in a White House news conference. The president expressed his understanding that America has grown tired of the Iraqi war.
I understand why the American people are, you know, they're tired of the war. There's war fatigue in America. It's affecting our psychology. I've said this before. I understand that. It's an ugly war. It's a war in which an enemy will kill innocent men, women, and children in order to achieve a political objective.
Yeah, glad we don't go to war to do that.
No. So a new White House report released today showed that 8 of the 18 political and security goals have been met. And the president said he's vowing not to back down amid growing anti-war sentiment by his fellow countrymen.
I've given our troops in Iraq clear objectives. And as they risk their lives to achieve these objectives, they need to know they have the unwavering support from the commander-in-chief. And they do. They need the enemy to know that America is not going to back down.
America is America has backed down.
He's the only one that's still going in that direction.
Really, it's just you. It's not even present tense. It's now passive. We're done. We're finished. We've handed in the towel, my friend.
So the president says the debate is whether the U.S. can succeed in Iraq.
The real debate over Iraq is between those who think the fight is lost and not worth the cost, and those who believe the fight can be won, and that is as difficult as the fight is, the cost of defeat would be far higher.
Although it costs $12 billion a month.
Seriously, how could the cost be? What if I had to hawk my DVD player tomorrow for it, I suppose? Jesus.
I don't know who has a straitjacket and what the delay is.
I don't know.
For going in there and putting it on the appropriate party.
And you would
and removing him from the building.
And you would think it would be someone within his own organization.
Mom. She's been through this before. They decided to make him president. Look what they've done.
You know what I just picture every time George Bush opens his mouth in front of a camera and starts to speak idiotically? I just picture that footage of the elder George Bush and Jeb just sitting there crying together. Do you remember that footage?
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like George H.R. Bush or whatever his name was, Bush 41. Just sitting there with his arm around Jeb Bush and both of them just weeping like small children. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to destroy our family dynasty's chances of ever being elected to anything again, ever.
There'll be no ice cream tonight.
I'm sorry I ruined everything. Do you realize, I never get tired of rolling this out, that I think from 1976, mm-hmm. I believe, until now, like every single election, there was either a Bush or a Dole somewhere on the ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. I mean, the Bushes, God love them, they really were starting to build a big family dynasty. But that time is over. Just one guy has just gone in there and just wrecked the entire operation. And I really am amazed that they haven't Borat style at some point, like you said, just put him in a bag. Just put him in a wedding bag and just taken him away somewhere where he can't push any more buttons or do anything. I mean, that guy is leaving. He's just stinking up the joint. He is leaving a taint on the GOP that is going to take like 10 years to come off. So have fun with that.
Now, Washington Democrat Patty Murray accused many Republican lawmakers of being more interested in protecting the president than the U.S. troops.
It is deeply troubling to me that Republicans have failed to join us in our efforts to take care of our troops and transition the mission in Iraq.
And now for more crackpottery. Joe Lieberman said, we must be prepared to fight Iran.
The fact is that our inaction against their deadly action has not stopped them. They're continuing to move very aggressively throughout Iraq against us and our allies.
Shouldn't be any mystery. What kind of people are running this country at this point?
No.
I mean, seriously. There should be several of these little jackets around.
Breaking case of military lunacy. All right. Well, is that the Bush Watch?
Oh, that is, yes.
All right, there's your Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. You've got the whole country staying.
We are really living...
this is Dr. Strange.
I was just going to say, we really are living inside Dr. Have you ever heard of fluoridation? We are living in a Stanley Kubrick fever dream. There is just no getting around that fact at this point. Our bodily fluids, our precious essence. Hello, sir. You want to talk about China?
Yeah, I was going to explain what I know about the child policy there.
Sure. Okay, sure.
Are you Chinese?
No, but my friend just adopted a baby from China, and there's...
Is it made out of cardboard and antifreeze?
No.
Wait a minute.
It's better than the ones from Russia. They all have fetal alcohol syndrome.
Well, what happened
is... This baby's made out of carpet swatches. Yes?
You're allowed to have one child. And that's different in the rural areas, but the one-child limit kind of puts a crimp on their retirement system, which is the male child takes care of the parents. If you have a girl child, they will abandon them at a bus stop, and then the adoption agencies collect them from these different places and put them up for adoption. And there's a huge number of those children being adopted into American families and other families around the world.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, I can get with that as opposed to being one of these jackhole idiot families from Iowa where the mom stuffs herself full of fertility drugs like she's some sort of a petri dish. So.
Yeah, ironic that you should suggest that because last night I was reading a book called Stiff about human cadavers, and it talks about human cannibalism.
I love this audience. Yes? Uh-huh.
And in China, for a long time, they ate human fetuses for medicinal purposes.
No, that went. Okay.
And now,
we've taken a turn into Crazyville. When was this?
This was, it began in around 900, according to this book. And as recently as 2003, there was a reported case, and the author of the book went over to investigate. And the doctor that she spoke to at this particular clinic got very irate with her. And he insisted that it never happened.
What,
that all of those
what an awkward conversation that must be with the receptionist coming in.
She
yes.
went all the way to China.
Yes, Miss Chow, what is it? Someone here about the fetus eating. Oh, playing golf.
They were sent to the government, and the government turned them into a powdered form and sold them in pharmacies. And continues to do so today.
That's just crazy. Okay.
And put them in toothpaste.
I don't even know how to respond to this.
On there.
Is this because babies taste like chicken? Is that why this happens?
It tastes like a fatted calf, apparently, according to...
like a fatted calf. It tastes like Baal. All right. All right, excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
I don't know how this happened. We were just making all kinds of jokes about log trucks and earthquakes and stuff, and now it's... Big boxes of fetus helper that you can apparently buy in China, where life is cheap. Play a little weekly radio address into the break here and come back with more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. This is the Rick Emerson radio program.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. Well, today I'd like to tell you about a wonderful, wonderful prison that our country administers in the nation of Cuba. It's a shining example to all the world's detention camps. It's called Guantanamo Bay. Camp Gitmo Day, they nicknamed it. Now, some have called for the closing of this dream camp. But we can't ever do that. The terrorists love it there. They love it. Even the random Middle Eastern civilians that we picked up, who may or not be terrorists, they love it too. It would break their hearts to close it. It truly would. We have fun military tribunals every night around the campfire where we tell terror ghost stories and elicit screams from the Gitmo campers in other fun ways. On weekends, we go toilet bobbing for holy books. And who among the prisoners doesn't enjoy our frequent trips to the yard in fun chains? And of course, everybody's favorite day is family rape day at the camp. I urge whoever makes these kinds of decisions to keep this delightful place open. If you have any heart at all, do it. Do it for the terrorists. God bless you.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland at 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. And only in this audience will we have a guy call up and say that he was up all night reading a book about, what is it, cadavers? What's the book called? Stiffs?
Abracadabra.
Apparently, Onalaska is right next to Chehalis. Well, that's too bad. There's nothing good near Chehalis. Where the Washington State Delinquent Youth Detention Facility is located. How proud they must be. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop about this Senator David Vitter. We were just talking during the break about all sorts of unpleasant details coming out about that. Details that inside sources are repeating that may or may not be true. And then there's the other story about this guy, what's his name, Florida State Representative Bob Allen?
Yes.
Boy, what an unattractive man he is. Look, I know he's sort of like, and I know this sounds insane, like a more slovenly Michael Moore. Michael Moore is sort of a paragon of squeaky cleanliness compared to this guy. Apparently, $20. Is that really all it goes for these days in a Titusville? In a Titusville, if you don't want to be arrested in one place, it's a place called Titusville. It just sounds like a small, embarrassing town. State Representative Bob Allen was arrested Wednesday afternoon at a local park after offering to perform what they will call a sex act on an undercover officer in exchange for $20, police said. He was booked into the Broward County Jail in Sharps on the charge of solicitation to commit prostitution and so forth. They've got this photo of him declining to provide comment. In what I believe is his front yard, and he sort of looks like if George Wendt had a fatter, less talented, far, far, far less successful and well-groomed brother. That's kind of what he looks like. Oh, and of course he's a Republican. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Now let's talk about the Hustler magazine publisher, Larry the Flint. He isn't apologizing for helping expose an alleged connection between Louisiana Senator David Vitter and the so-called D.C. Madame. Flint said the Senator campaign talking about the sanctity of marriage, co-authored a bill against same-sex marriage, and here he is getting caught.
This is not a witch hunt. This is not to expose someone's sex life. But if you're someone who's living a public life while you're advocating a different private life, I just think you're a hypocrite. I don't want you representing me.
You know, you got to love Larry Flint. That's a guy.
He keeps going.
He really does. That guy will outlive us all. He just cannot be stopped. I would encourage you to read his autobiography, which is entitled An Unseemly Man, which is a little out of date now unless he's updated it with new information, because I think it stops in about 1996, 7, right about the time that Milos Forman film came out. But it really is a fascinating book. That's a guy who is not a hypocrite. He sticks to his guns, does what he believes in, and kind of has the empire to show for it. So God bless him.
He said that an ad placed in the Washington Post asked for scoops on politicians who live double lives. They resulted in an investigation into a number of high-ranking Republicans and Democrats.
We've got 20 investigations going that all look good. We've got more investigations this ad in the Washington Post than ever before in history when we run that ad.
And we've got this. This is from the, this is from news station WDSU. Jeanette Mayer, known as the Canal Street Madam, claimed that Senator David Vitter visited her mid-city operation beginning in the mid-1990s. He would pay $300 an hour, allegedly. This is all alleged, by the way. Everything I'm saying, this is all alleged. Would pay $300 an hour for services. She would not disclose how many times he came to the Canal Street home, only saying it was more than once. She said that although some of his visits were at the Canal Street location, others were during fishing trips and other activities with fellow politicians. She said, there was more to the business than sex, she said. There were many, many demands made. And then there was this, and again, this has been alleged by someone citing an undisclosed inside source. You guys heard me talking about this during the break.
Yes.
I don't even know if I should say it.
Go ahead.
Sarah?
About which one?
Oh, I was talking about during the break about his rather unique interest.
Oh, I don't know.
go ahead.
You know what it is right now? I'm a Tom Hulse right now in Animal House.
And I'm the angel.
Sarah's little angel. But you shouldn't do it. Just be a good person. And David said, read it now.
It's just disturbing.
Well, it is. This is now again.
The people need to know, though.
This is all alleged. These are allegations. This could be entirely false. But this has been reported and alleged partially by the madam herself, partially by WDSU, and partially by what their story says inside unnamed sources. The source said that Vitter was a client at Canal Street and provided additional details that shed light on his comment that there was on the madam's comment that there was more to the business than sex. We're talking about, among other things, diaper fetishism, which one presumes means that he's sitting there swaddled in clothes carrying a big load of some kind. I mean, I'm imagining. I don't really know. That's what I'm assuming it is. Maybe he likes to change the diapers that someone else is wearing. I don't really understand. These are all things that I imagine will be made clear at some point. And then the best, and by best I mean most horrifying thing about this is, then they have an update later on in this article that notes that many of this guy David Vitter, many of his 2004 Senate campaign ads feature him changing diapers. Feature him changing his kids' diapers. Let's listen to one, shall we?
Yes.
This is, this appears to be, this is his 2004 Senate campaign ad. Let's see if this will play here. We may have to wait for this to buffer, I guess. This is a campaign ad where this is him at his home. Ah, now see, it's going to be... Apparently, it's too popular at the moment to play. But I guess the ad finishes with him then changing a diaper on some child or other. So, there you go. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a judge has sentenced the son of an imprisoned Utah polygamist to 180 days in jail for having sex with a 13-year-old girl he met on the MySpace. The son, William Green, who's 19, must avoid pornography from now on, stay off the Internet, out of chat rooms, and pay a $500 fine. Here's a remorseful kid, said his lawyer. He's now married and has full-time work, which makes everything right.
Of course.
Because that is the cure for anything. You'll see that this is just a little blip on his radar screen.
What, have you had sex with a 13-year-old?
Yeah, but it's a blip on the radar screen.
Because he's married
since
now.
He got married.
Because he's married now where he can grow his own victims. Yeah. So he won't need to leave the house for that anymore. He'll just be able to find everything he needs right there.
Father, Tom, who's 58, went to prison in 2001 for also having sex with a 13-year-old girl.
I'm stunned.
And he was 37.
And these are nutcase...
The girl was the first of five women his dad took as wives.
Oh, I see. Oh, they're fundamentalist Mormons. Where was this at?
Utah.
Well, color me surprised. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, for those who enjoy having sex at the Holman State Wayside Park in Salem, which police say has been going on for 40 years, they're finally closing it down because they're sick and tired of it.
Well.
So all the beautiful people who go there kind of wind things up in the next couple of days because they're going to close it and put up a sign saying no more public sex. So,
really? Are they doing that?
Well, they probably will.
Okay, this is where in Salem?
I don't know where this is.
But I mean,
I'm sure one of our
called?
Listeners knows. This is called Holman Wayside Park. It's a state park.
So is it? But it's not like a nudist park or something.
No, there have been people having sex there for 40 years. It says here.
Proudly.
Yeah.
I have a question about this because we have those of the nude beaches and so forth. Right, like Sovie Island is a nude.
Oh yeah, you never hear about
that. Isn't
that
a nude place?
It is.
Now, but is it legal to have sex there?
I don't think so.
If it's legal to be nude, though.
Well, nude is different than sex.
I suppose.
And it's legal to be nude, I believe, anywhere in Portland.
That's not true.
It is true.
I think it is.
Yeah, if you're not touching someone in, like, a sexual way, that's why they can get away with all the naked bike rides.
I thought that was just because...
No, you can be totally naked.
Who wants to arrest 100, you know, sweaty people who've been biking in the sun?
It's like you can't do anything sexual and you can't, like, come in contact with another nude person.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. Understand right now. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever. But... That's right. So if you were just some you could just strip off all your clothes while you're standing downtown on the street corner and just stand there nude?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
That doesn't sound like it could possibly be right. I mean, I hope it is.
Maybe we should send Scotty J out to investigate.
That's a great idea. I like the way you think. Maybe that's what you have to do if he smokes. If he smokes, he'll have to go downtown and strip on the street corner. Because I like to think of Portland as being a progressive town, of course.
It is.
And it is about most things. So, I mean, it seems like that is a kind of thing that you would have here in Berkeley and other godless places where we've imported San Francisco values. But it just seems like a little too much to hope for. All right, well, somebody knows. That's a thing I want to know the answer to. Because doesn't it seem like you would see more nude people downtown, though? Just because Portland is full of nutcases. You know, Portland's full of a bunch of freaks who just want to wander around and air out their junk.
The river last weekend.
Really? But I mean, down at the river right down here?
The Sandy River, yeah. Just walking around.
All right. Wait, let's just wait. Somebody claims to know here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This is Eric.
What's up?
I was just calling to let you know it's completely legal to be naked in the city limits of Portland. You just cannot be lewd and lascivious.
And that basically means you just can't be touching yourself or getting it on with somebody.
Exactly. You can't be turned on by it. And it's so true. Like a month ago, I was gardening in my backyard. My girlfriend's like, Eric, come here. And she makes me peer over the fence at these two women walking topless. And I love living in the Southeast because of that.
Now, see, but I live in the Southeast and I never see that. Now, is this...
And was it a good topless? Is it one of those things where, like, it wasn't really a gift? Or was it a good topless?
One of them was a gift. The other one, I could only get the side profile from, and I was very thankful for that.
Yeah. This is like that lesbian kiss-in that happens at the TriMet Center over the weekend. And I was told by a few people who were there and witnessed it that it was... there are no goggles strong enough. So... Apparently it was all right that I missed that.
It was unfiltered.
Yeah, not enough eye bleach in the world for that.
Rick, I got to go, but I just want to let you guys know that your show is like so ice. Yeah.
thank you, sir. All right. Yeah,
that was an attempt at Scotty J.
Why haven't we done some wacky publicity radio stunt then where we try to get as many nude people as we can in one place? I mean, that is like the cheapest possible radio ploy. But seriously, if we could gather... like 100 nude people and just have them stand around downtown. Come on now. That's exactly the kind of dumb, obvious gesture that puts radio stations on the map. I mean, typically I would think of that as a thing that is beneath me.
We could do a remote from Savvy's Island.
I just don't. But, I mean, we don't even need to do it from there. We can apparently do it downtown.
That'd be better, Pioneer Courthouse Square.
I mean, again, I'm not saying that the people are wrong when they say that, but I will say this: it does. Apart from the nude bicycle race, which is a thing that happens in many cities, San Francisco does that, for example, and I know they do one in Philadelphia, I think, as well. It seems like you would see that a lot more than you. Let me, for example, it's not like spend all my time in the great outdoors or whatever, but I mean, you know, especially during the summer months, I spend my share of time down at like the waterfront park was it Tom McCall Park? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Down by the river. And I don't think, to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe I've ever seen a woman so much as topless down there. Good looking or not, I don't think it's ever happened. Because I think I would remember that if it had happened. You know what it is? We'll file this right next to that question that we still have never got a satisfactory answer to, which is whether or not stores truly have the right to refuse service to somebody in Portland, even though they put up that sign that says, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. And I don't think that's actually true. We need some sort of Bruce Williams legal advisor that we can call. We have that guy, Tim Criswell from the House of Reptiles. He's kind of our creepy crawly guy. We do need some guy who kind of knows law stuff, who can call up and answer these questions for us. You know who we can call? Scotty J, are you thinking what I'm thinking? We can call City Commissioner Dan Saltzman. He owes us, you know. He sat next to us at that PDX Teen Idol panel. He agreed to come on at some point. We should totally call in that favor. Have him come on and answer our questions about naked bosoms and fortified wine. That's a great idea. Get cracking on that, would you please? All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a suspicious passenger caused an American Airlines flight to make an emergency landing at JFK. So who wanted to speak about this? Well, Michael Chertoff wanted to seize the occasion because he warned somebody that something might happen. However, it turns out that it was an employee of the airline.
I will say this airline incident, which appears to have been resolved without any real issue, is a good example of the fact that when you do see something suspicious, as this air crew did, you ought to take some kind of action.
How is it a good example if it wasn't someone suspicious?
What was the suspicious behavior?
All right, so they saw somebody jump aboard, get on the plane, who before that had jumped aboard an employee's bus that runs into the airport.
Right. Yeah, one of those little golf cart things.
Right. They weren't dressed in any type of uniform. It's because they were on civilian time. So they boarded they let them board the airplane apparently after knowing this. Then when it was in the air, they decided to have the plane turn around because this person was suspicious to them.
But they were suspicious for...
They were already suspicious before that. But they
and
let the person
they let
on the plane.
Get on the plane.
Right. And then they decided to turn the plane around.
We saw that a couple of weeks ago in London, where it was an ambulance driver who saw a suspicious automobile who called the police, and that led to the discovery of a car bomb. It's very important that people be focused on things that are suspicious.
And never let them forget they need us.
Are you guys having a trouble with your email?
In what way?
Are you having trouble accessing your email, or like if you have a web-based email, are you having trouble with that?
Not today.
I am. I'm having just the toughest time here with my web-based email. Because that's how I view all my Rick
Emerson thing. Is it all web-based email?
No, but I mean it does not in Microsoft Outlook or something.
Okay.
My Microsoft Outlook is fine. Where I have an email program. But I use a web-based program to view all even my Rick Emerson stuff. So I'm having a kind of trouble with that today. What was I talking about? I know I seem to be I'm fixating on this, but so we could have somebody just go and stand nude downtown right now.
Yes.
Just stand there just for no real reason at all. I wonder if at some point they'd come along and move you on out, though, if they'd come by and...
Well, because they could probably give you a loitering ticket or find some way around it.
Maybe. Seems like they don't give loitering tickets to any of the people that actually are loitering downtown right now. So, all right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So a mom gets booted from a plane after a baby keeps babbling, bye-bye plane. This is a 19-month-old young boy who apparently has a bubbly personality.
Uh-huh.
The mother said when they were aboard a Continental Express plane, the flight attendant became annoyed by the youngster's personality when he kept saying the three words, bye-bye plane. At the end of her speech, she leaned over the gentleman beside me and said, it's not funny anymore, you need to shut your baby up.
Well done.
In disbelief, the mom asked if the woman was kidding. Apparently, no.
No. Let me just tell you this right now. I can answer that. When someone tells you that your child is being irritating and needs to stifle it, they're not kidding. It's not a joke. No one is attempting to be witty. It's not a merry jape of some kind. It means that your child is irritating everyone on the plane and driving them toward the point of hideous violence. So you need to stop that right now.
Former Beverly Hills 90210 star Ian Ziering may be the next Bob Barker. According to the New York Daily News, the actor most recently appeared on ABC's Dancing with the Stars has gotten a call back to succeed Barker as host of the Price is Right game show. He says he really, really wants a job. But he's not the only one. There are a few other people in here, so. So, I wonder what's on the Price is Right now.
I think they're just doing the Charles Schulz Peanuts thing. I think they're just doing reruns. Because except for the gradual graying of his hair over the years, Bob Barker never looked any different. Mm-hmm. You go back and you look at the Price is Right from 15 years ago. I mean, I guess the prices would be different, though.
For the most part, yes.
Because they do actual retail prices on that show, right? They do. Yeah. They use sort of the current market value for most of those contests.
Right.
So I guess they must be, or maybe he, for that matter, he might have been taping 2-3 shows a day, for all we know. So, I mean, over the course of the last year, Barker could have actually cranked out, 2 or 3 years' worth of programs.
He could already be dead.
So they might be like Alpha Centauri. He burned out 250,000 years ago. Oh, by the way, apparently Woodburn I-5 backed up, Woodburn I-5 North backed up for 4 miles a chemical truck spill.
You betcha.
Life flight and injuries, no deaths. So I believe we're free to make fun of it for now. But apparently some sort of a chemical spill. Why does this always happen when it's 114 degrees outside?
Yeah.
It never happens when it's 71 and balmy. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Type our snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for whatever they have Thursday on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Lady Bird Johnson is dead.
Who?
Lady Bird Johnson.
No, I'm only fooling.
She was married to LBJ, who died in 1973. He died the year you were born.
Really?
And you just asked me if he was still alive.
No. I didn't ask if he was still alive. It was that I thought she was already dead.
Oh, that's true.
Because he died. And he went all crazy. He was like a hippie.
Yeah,
hippie. And he had long hair and was smoking pot all the time.
In Texas.
Yeah. But I thought Lady Bird had died 1,000 years ago.
No.
I mean, who knew that she was still around?
She was 94.
Jesus.
So she died because she was 94. Now, you're probably wondering, where did she ever get that? Here's the president first.
Yesterday, America lost an extraordinary first lady and a fine Texan, Lady Bird Johnson. She brought grace to the White House and beauty to our country.
I don't even remember.
On behalf of the American people, Laura and I send our condolences to her daughters, Linda and Lucy, and we offer our prayers to the Johnson family.
Johnson. I don't even remember what she looks like. I can't even conjure up an image of
her. She had a typical 60s hairdo.
And
her big job was to clean up the garbage along the highways, which she did. How did you get that name Lady Bird anyway?
A nursemaid named Alice Tuttle that cared for her said she was as pretty as a ladybird, and she thereafter became known to family and friends as Lady Bird, and most of America knows her as Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is just an awkward name, because then you think about Lyndon Johnson being in an intimate moment with her and having to call her Lady Bird. It's like that girl.
I heard you tweet.
Why would you ever say that? With that Texas drawl of his. It's like that girl in Entourage saying that she can't have sex with Turtle until she knows his real name, because you can't call a guy Turtle during sex. We know a guy named Turtle, actually. The sound guy who was at the Savalas.
I have a friend named Turtle, too.
Yeah, and he's now at the... Well, he's at the... Where was it? I just ran into him the other night. Anyway,
does
we know
a guy...
He
has long hair?
No, he's kind of a... kind of looks like Jim from the Marconi Show. With a beard. Anyway, but his name is Turtle. And I have no idea what his real name is. That's all I've ever known him as. You got to wonder if girls call him that during awkward moments. All right. So Lady Bird Johnson.
That family also has a connection to this business, because their ownership in radio stations and TV kind of was their nest egg to get LBJ elected. They owned KLBJ AM and FM.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I figured they were like an oil family. Everybody else
down there. Radio. And some land in Texas made. She bought. Well, she had the money. She had the money.
Of course.
He married into money, and she decided that they were going to get into radio, and that's what financed a lot of his early campaigns. So they bought into the business in 1943, and they just gave up ownership. Let's see, in 2003.
All right. So there you go. All right. So Lady Bird Johnson dead.
You never even know who she was.
No. I mean, I kind of knew, but I don't know anything about her. Let's see how far back I can go. Okay, let me see how far back I can take this. Laura Bush,
mm-hmm.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, Barbara Bush,
mm-hmm.
Nancy Reagan. I have to work back and have to do the president too. Nancy Reagan.
I can't think of her name either.
Who's Jimmy Carter's wife?
What's her name? Peggy Sue.
Billy? Billy Carter?
That was her brother.
Oh. Yeah. Did I really just do that?
Yeah,
did I really just confuse the first lady with Jimmy Carter's idiot, overweight, alcoholic brother? You know what my grandfather had to the day he died, one of his prize collector's items?
What was that?
Billy Beer.
Oh, yeah.
Six-pack of Billy Beer. God, what an embarrassment. You know, Roger Clinton had nothing on that guy. What was Jimmy? Well, that's, I guess, as far back as it goes. I cannot for the life of me come up with Jimmy. Who was the first lady during the Carter administration? I was alive.
I can't remember her name. Well, what did she do?
I have no idea. Don't they all have pet projects and stuff they fix or try to fix?
Yeah, they build housing for the poor.
I have no idea. Because before that, it's, what's her name? Betty Ford, obviously. Patricia Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Bird, and then Jackie Kennedy, and then
Eisenhower's wife. What was her name?
Mamie Eisenhower.
And then the Roosevelt woman,
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Then after that, I don't remember anything.
It's all a blur. But I can't get past. I don't know Jimmy Carter's. I can't come up with it at all.
Peg,
you're just picking old names. Blanche. Gladys? You're just picking old names now. Mildred? Hazel? Right.
Ernestine? I don't know. I don't remember.
All right.
You just didn't stand out in history.
Maude, is that you? All right, let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Suggestions to lend legitimacy to your naked event downtown.
Yes.
Of course, we'd have to do it for the troops.
Or for the children.
But I'm thinking, you know, if it's expressing your freedoms that the troops are fighting for, and maybe even scheduling it as a photo shoot and sending the photos over to the troops, you know, how could somebody argue that?
I don't know. I'm not sure that you can send nude photos to the troops. I asked if you could send them porn, and the answer was a resounding no. So we may have to hide it in something else.
Or just standing at a table and collecting funds for them or something. But, you know, expressing the freedoms that they're fighting for and sending support to the troops and... and there's just no way anybody can argue that.
Our boys across, our boys overseas fighting for boobs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I had a question, and I have the name of Jimmy Carter's wife for you.
Okay.
Rosalind Carter.
Rosalind.
What is she noted for?
Nothing.
I didn't think so.
He's the Doris Kearns Goodwin of the Rick Emerson Show. I did definitively nothing. Puts the hammer down on her. Yeah.
Hey, I was going to ask. What? Forgive me if someone's already said this or asked this, but what is Lady Bird's real name? I was trying to find it.
Did we have that during the show, during the news, the snuff watchers now?
I don't believe so, no.
No one knows.
I read like three articles on the internet, and I was like, what is her real name?
I don't think anybody knows the answer. Sir, it can't be known. No one knows.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I just wanted to like end that.
Rosalind. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Why was I thinking of Nessie Rosalind? Jimmy Carter... Never mind. That's a dumb question. I'm going to end it right now. I was about to ask if Jimmy Carter dated Linda Ronstadt, but that's not true. That was Jerry Brown.
That can't possibly be true.
can you imagine that? Was that Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I was going to say you missed Best Truman.
Best Truman. I'm so bad with presidents, though. Is that before
Truman? Truman
Roosevelt?
Defeated Roosevelt when Roosevelt died, and then was reelected in 1948.
All right.
Yeah.
Who was the crazy one that they kept locked in the basement? Oh, that was Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was nutty, and so they kept her chained up in the basement, howling like a banshee. They kept her. She was sort of the sloth of the Civil War era. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Mary Todd, love Abraham. All right. It's 503-733-2970. That is the first time anybody has ever made a presidential joke and tied it into the Goonies. Right there. You're witnessing history.
That was educational.
Sarah seems so bored with this entire discussion. All right, it's 503.
I just didn't even know who Lady Bird was.
I still don't know. We don't even know her real name. All right.
That doesn't matter anymore.
She's
dead. It's not going to be brought up.
Well, like, we're ever going to talk about her again. That's the first and last time. And the only other thing I know about her is that Hank Hill, the Hill family's dog, is named Lady Bird for her. That's all. That's it. It's the end of my Lady Bird, nods. Okay, we're done. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break. Come back after this. Jim Roop around the corner. And we'll talk to Scotty J about his effort to quit smoking later on the top five. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. You know, my email's completely down. That's frustrating. You don't even think about that. It's like your car keys. You can't find it. Doesn't work properly. Well, what are you going to do? It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on the top five, we'll talk more to Scotty J. Ladies and gentlemen from Los Angeles. Welcome out to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN Radio correspondent and living God, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Woo-hoo.
How's life, my friend? How are things?
Things are great. Life is beautiful.
Are they really good?
No, but, you know, we're
But you can put up a good front.
Sure.
You can put up what Scotty J would call a facade.
Only to you can I be honest.
All right. Well, that's, you know, it's part of the special bond we have,
James. Absolutely.
Hey, Sarah, how is your septum piercing feeling today?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
It doesn't hurt. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's the pain today?
Probably about a 3.
Oh, see, there you go. It'll be completely gone. Tell me, the creepy thing that you heard about why it hurts so much.
Oh, my friend Mike Fry had his done. He said it took like 3 weeks for it to heal because the nerve endings get separated when it gets pierced and they try to find each other again.
Oh, that's creepy.
So that's why it's so painful.
That's so creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
It's like I picture them
dueling inside.
Why would you put yourself through that?
Jim Roop, because I don't know. Because I was drunk and somebody offered to pay for it.
She was just going
to
say she was drunk and it was free.
Well, as long as it was free.
Yeah.
It sure was.
But that's so creepy. I picture your nerve endings waving around like some sort of worm-like spaghetti inside your head going...
I know, I was picturing it that way, too.
Yeah, totally. Just like, where am I, you know? And then they're going to, like, circumvent it. They'll grow outside your nose and go around so they can find the other half. That's what's going to happen. You trust me. It'll be like the pieces of the Iron Giant coming together at the end. right. Hey, so real quickly, is public nudity legal in parts of California or that you know of? Because
it is not.
There's, I don't want to say it's a debate, but let me just say
you're
that
talking about the nude beaches that are this place is famous for.
Well, it all started with this. We were talking about some park in Portland or some outlying area where I guess they're cracking down on public sex because it's some park that's notorious for couples going there and shagging one out apparently. And I said, well, what about, because we do have nude beaches here. I believe state-sanctioned legal nude beaches, mm-hmm. places that are zoned for public nudity. And I said, well, what about those nude beaches? Is it legal to have sex there? Just, I was sort of curious about it. And then that led to this discussion where any number of listeners, and I'm not saying the listeners are knowingly leading me astray or bearing false witness, but I do believe it might be one of those, not an urban legend, but just a commonly held misperception. A lot of listeners are saying that nudity, as long as you're not engaging in a sexual act, that nudity is legal inside Portland city limits, public nudity. And it just seems like that can't possibly be the case because...
Isn't that indecent exposure?
See, that's what I'm saying. So why can't you... So does that mean it's legal to stand downtown and flash somebody? I mean, that's what I'm...
Well,
it doesn't seem like it can possibly
be legal.
If it's
legal to be naked, then yeah.
So... It seems like maybe the cops sort of look the other way about nudity here in Portland because we have these nude...
I wouldn't look the other way.
We have these nude bicycle races and stuff that happen here where like a bunch of bicycle activists will do like a nude bike ride. And I think it might sort of be the way... Like I was in Santa Cruz one time and I remember there was a guy like full on walking down the street with a joint in his hand. Just completely smoking away. Just smoking weed like, as you know, like the day is long. And I think at one point he walked right by a cop car. And they literally looked the other way. Like the guy was on the sidewalk, and he walked by smoking what was clearly a massive joint, and they just kind of went, and just turned their heads and literally looked out the other window of the car until he walked by.
Now, that I believe, because in places like Santa Barbara, a few other places, probably Santa Cruz and Big Sur and all those places, it is in the laws of those cities, marijuana... personal consumption is the least priority crime.
And
so
is that
cops can't ignore it.
And is that least priority crime just sort of like by common consent?
No, that is a law.
It
that
is a law.
Written that law that while it's illegal to possess marijuana, that's the least crime they want cops to deal with. That is the lowest priority crime.
So it is actually codified that way.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And actually, I think it's Santa Barbara. They're trying to get that reversed because they don't like the fact that so many people are smoking pot.
Sure.
And in my opinion, who cares?
Well, seriously, like if there's anybody who is...
I would want a town full of pot smokers because there'd be no crime.
I was just going to say, like if there's somebody who's guaranteed not to have enough motivation to commit a crime, it's going to be a guy who's just stoned out of his gourd on Hawaiian Red all day.
Throw it out to the gang members.
That's
what I say.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Well, that I mean, really, in my world, when you go to prison, especially if you're a lifer, you're going to get all the drugs you want.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's the thing, man. It's like you're in prison for 50 years, 100 years, man. You'll get hot and cold running drugs right to your cell. You know why? You're not going to be effing with anybody. Not going to be shivving anybody in the mess hall, you know, whatever. So,
don't have to sneak them in. We'll provide them.
And here's the thing. Here's why I'm so obsessed with learning about Portland's public nudity. Because if it does turn out that nudity is actually legal... within the Portland city limits, then it just screams for a...
Listen to the party.
It screams for a kooky radio stunt. Mm. And we're just the kind of moronic radio program to pull off such a lowest common denominator event, my friend.
Well.
So, as you well know, having seen us, you know that if there's anybody who can aim squarely for the bottom, that is the Rick Emerson Show.
What I saw was the highest caliber I've ever seen.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to say so. Hey, speaking of aiming for the bottom, let's talk about David Vitter, the senator who is... I'm sorry. Are you sure that didn't even deserve a laugh? Senator David Vitter, who has admitted this connection with the so-called D.C. madame. Now, here's a question. Now, first of all, Larry Flynch, the guy
who sort of... Can I tell you why it deserved a laugh?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to get to Larry Flynch, because I was at that news conference of that poor sap. Holy mackerel. But he was saying that when he went after Robert Livingston, when Robert Livingston was going to go after Clinton because
right.
of Clinton's indiscretion with
sure.
Monica Lewinsky then it was Larry Flynt who exposed the transgressions of Robert Livingston, so Livingston backed off, and he called Larry Flynt a bottom feeder. And Flynt says, I may be a bottom feeder, but look what I found down there.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that quote. That was fantastic.
That was the greatest quote ever. And he reminded us of that yesterday.
No, it's, and so There's so much to talk about here. So my first question is, and maybe you cannot answer this, but it is sort of what I was thinking about, that if they're nailing this D.C. Madam for prostitution, and if it is admitted, I mean, basically if all parties agree that this guy, Senator David Vitter, was patronizing this house of prostitution, why isn't he being prosecuted?
Well, it's a victimless crime.
Well, it's a victimless crime, then she shouldn't be prosecuted.
She's not being prosecuted.
Is she not? Now, is that...
She's saying that it was, they're trying to prosecute her, but she's saying it was not a prostitution ring, it was an escort service.
Well, but that's what they all say. The ladies are paid for their time and companionship.
Yeah.
Whatever else happens, I know it sounds like I'm reciting this from memory a little too easily, but that's always their defense, right? That you're paying for the time, and if she decides to have sex with you, then... whatever, then that's her deal. But I mean,
if it's illegal, it should be like a drug situation. The guy who sold you the drugs is in trouble as much as you are for taking the drugs.
And I don't think it ought to be illegal for anybody, but it seems unfair that if they're trying to bust her or if they're threatening to, then they ought to be threatening to nail this guy, too. So, well, anyway.
That's how Jerry Springer lost his mayoralship in Cincinnati by writing a check.
Writing a check from the city account.
I was living there at that time.
Oh, that's, you know, and here's the great thing about, let me just say this about Jerry Springer. The great thing about her is, Jerry Springer, is that he's such a smart guy. To this day, probably the best Playboy interview I ever read was with Jerry Springer, because he just lays it all out there, man. He is a man unashamed. He's not a hypocrite. He totally spills it for what it is. And I think when he ran for mayor, or not even ran for mayor, I think he was already mayor, the scandal came out, and he just totally copped to it. He did like a little press conference.
Yeah.
And he's like, hi, I'm your mayor. I paid for a hooker with a check from the city. Shouldn't have done that. Sorry. What are you going to do? And he totally just admitted right to it, you know?
He wound up being a news anchor.
Yeah. I mean,
and then a local talk show, then he went to Chicago, and then that thing became what it is.
I dig that guy. I really do.
Always
so,
have.
Excellent. All right. Well, so there you go. And this is probably Larry Flint has got, what, 19 other guys that he's tracking?
Yeah, he's talking about 20 investigations underway. And he also said, you know, he said, I realize that when I do something, the press is going to come down on me real hard. So before I release anything, I'm going to know that what I have is right. And you need to know what I have is right, too, because I know you're going to beat me up over it.
Sure.
So if I'm going to release anybody's name, I will have documentation, and I will back all this up. And all this is stemming from that ad that he put in the Washington Post, you know, saying, hey, if you're having an affair with a high-ranking public official, let me know about it. I'll pay you $1 million if I can document it. He said five prostitutes have taken him up on that offer, but he has 20 investigations going on.
By the way, you like to know this, and again, this is just still alleged. This has not been proven. Mm-hmm. But apparently inside sources from this Senator David Vitter scandal have said that not only was he paying for sex, he was a... such an unpleasant phrase. He did engage in diaper fetishism. So take that image with you when you go to sleep tonight.
Man, I'll tell you.
Next time you're trying to eat Chinese, you just think about that.
Well, you know, this little thing, what's that old saying? And I remember, I think it was Jerry Springer who even said it. He said, if you're a politician, you don't want to be caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy.
Right, yeah.
And I forgot who said that, but if it's just a matter of seeking a little companionship elsewhere, and nobody got hurt, except maybe the family. I mean, nobody got hurt physically or died. What's the problem?
My only problem is the guy is clearly such a self-righteous. He's another one of the sanctity of marriage nitwits.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like Villa Rigosa, right? The guy runs on the... Again, I don't care what anybody does. You know, doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You know, you sleep with 50 women.
That's what Flint was saying, too. He said, look, I'm not the moral compass here. You know, I just don't like it when somebody touts family values here and ignores whatever values they're touting in public.
Right.
They ignore them in private. That's just hypocrisy.
I mean, and a guy who got his job by a series of events put in motion by the Clinton impeachment thing. So, I mean, the only reason the guy had his job was because the Republicans are trying to impeach Bill Clinton for something very similar to this. So, yeah, so F that guy.
It is very funny. And he's also, isn't he also the chairman for the Southern chair of Giuliani's...
Probably.
You know, so there you go.
I mean, really. Well, this guy, did you read this? There's another Republican, this Florida congressman that got busted last night for trying to pay $20 to some guy for sex in a public bathroom. And it turns out that he was the co-chair of McCain's campaign down there. So, I mean, that's a house of cards that's burning from the inside out. It's a good time to be us, Jim.
It's a good time for you to run, son.
Yeah.
I am here to tell you.
Now
is a good time to throw your hat in the ring. There is plenty of time, babe.
More than ever. All right, Jim Roop. Thank you, my friend.
All righty.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Fan-freaking-tastic. How is everybody?
Yay.
I get the feeling I'm way more enthused than everybody else
today. I think you've had more coffee than the rest of us.
How are you feeling, Sarah?
I'm good.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No.
I feel like my vim and vigor is too much for you today. I feel like you're a little reticent to...
I shouldn't have played with the ring on my nose. Now it kind of hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's take a flashing call. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello!
Hey, so sorry I don't have the actual statue, Portland statue, in front of me right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard about this before on other programs and news.
Was it on the Lars Larson program? Was he talking about men showing their penises to other people?
I somehow doubt that.
Wow.
But anyway, they wrote the statute in such a way that it can be used however they like. Essentially, the way they wrote it, they said you cannot be nude for the purpose of bringing sexual arousal to someone else. So you may not flash,
But what if it doesn't arouse the other person?
Well, that can be interpreted any way. It can't be for the purpose of arousing you either.
Oh, I see. So if you're nude just to get some rays, that's fine. But if you're nude because you like to wave it in front of schoolgirls, that's not okay.
Yes. And the way it's written, the cops can interpret it however they like.
Okay. Seriously, somebody has to send this to me. Somebody has to find. Again, it's not that I don't believe. I just want to see it so I know what it says. Jason Crump from Vanish Twin Photography has already sent me the, Rick, I demand boobs across the Broadway.
Oh, jeez.
Now, come on, though. Really, look, like, can I just say something right now? It's the cheapest, lamest, most hack-like radio thing I can possibly imagine. But really, honestly, if it hasn't been done, then it just screams out to be done. It screams out to be accomplished and checked off the list. And if there's no one else who is lame enough to do it, then I will take up that baton. All right, thank you, Bill.
Yeah, but now you've put it out there, so you know one of those morning shows is about to do it, because they just heard you.
With every passing day, there are a few of those morning shows around to steal from us, though.
All right, there you go.
Fantastic. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. Should we break? Should we do Scotty? Should we do Tim? What should we do, Sarah Dillon?
Let's do Scotty.
Okay.
I don't want to hear the sounder.
Of course.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Fantastic. Really, the crickets that sell at the air in the end. Scotty J, our interrupted PA. Hello, Scotty J.
Why, hello, Rick, Sarah, Portland.
Tim.
Tim's sitting right,
Tim's right there.
Tim, Riley.
Hello, Scotty.
What is
that?
Everyone's nuts right now.
Seriously, I think everybody in this
Heat
room
stroke.
Is... Everybody in this room is a little weird today. I'm not saying it's bad, just everybody's in kind of a strange mood. I don't really know what that's all about. There does seem to be a little bit of a weirdness in the air.
A little bit of Vin and Viagra. I mean vinegar.
Who is this on line one? Should I take whoever this is?
Sure.
Do you know who it
no.
is?
No.
Have you screened this call?
No, I have
vinegar?
Not.
Please spell vinegar.
Oh, come on.
Too early in the day.
V-I-N-A-G-E-R.
No. And
are
trying
you sure?
to speed through it doesn't make it less obvious
it
when you're
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, mushing the letters together doesn't make them right.
V-I-N-E-G-A-U-R-D.
Vinaugard? That doesn't even make any sense.
I give.
All right. So when we last left Scotty J, we had determined what I believe to be the best possible method for you to quit smoking. And
right,
so,
and I got to thinking about that, Rick.
Uh-huh. Well, let me just say preemptively. That may or may not be the case, but you've already ceded the power of determining how you quit smoking to the Rick Emerson Show. So you can share your thoughts, but rest assured they won't have any bearing on what happens.
Okay, great.
So that being said, go ahead.
Okay, when you said enlist the services of the Rick Emerson Show next time. If,
you put it in our hands.
If you want help.
You put
I said yes, because...
You put the decision-making power in our hands in the terms of deciding how you quit smoking.
And that is correct, because before you were leading me to believe that it was going to be some experimental thing. And honestly,
I didn't lead you to believe anything.
Or that it was going to be some medicine from the Orient, or that
the
fact
Orient.
That...
Stop saying Orient. There's no such thing as the Orient.
Oh, yes, there is. I flew Northwest Orient Airlines.
Yes, we're going to get you medicine from a...
Okay, secondly,
medicine from the Orient. Be, curing with Calgon.
It could be being put under hypnosis. Those are all...
No, see, you want us to just pay for something really expensive.
No, no, you
that's
don't even
the
have
deal.
To pay
that, no,
for
that
it.
Clearly is that... But you want us to obtain for you something that would normally be really expensive. That clearly is what this
that
is.
That is not clearly what it is at all. When you go to someone for help,
and
they,
I never
they
made,
offer help, they don't offer kisses from
and
the
I, and
community.
I never made, and I never made any promises about what method we would use. I
right,
simply said we
when
would.
You said enlist Emerson, we were talking OMSI at the time. We were not talking making out with the same sex.
Well, that's so.
Not making out.
Nothing,
whoa, you've got
to
have one that's out of proportion.
Projecting. Seriously, I'm not. Nothing's off the table, Scotty. We're willing to do whatever it takes to help you become a healthier individual.
There you
individual.
Go. So you just, you heard it.
And so clearly,
it's to help, not to punish.
Clear, you know what? But if you're not going to smoke, it won't be
that's
an issue.
That's the Catholic way, Rick. Punish, and you will be helped.
Yes, it is.
So that's why I'm
yes,
not Catholic.
Yes, it is, my friend. So clearly, but if you know you're if you're serious about quitting smoking, it won't even be an issue because it won't happen. The punishment won't need to happen. So
I need something to get through withdrawals. I need something that will help me mentally think about not smoking.
Well,
no
here's
more.
What can
not
here's
not
what can
being
help
pissed
you.
Pissed on the neck.
Here's what'll help you.
Okay,
the
go
notion,
ahead.
The idea and the realization and the knowledge and the fact that if you smoke, we're going to have a man come in and nibble on your ear. So if that doesn't
ooh,
help,
are we
going
to stick with the ear one?
Well.
I don't think so. We didn't give the public enough chance to put... There, three people got to give ideas. That was it.
Okay.
Public transportation, ears.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Hold on. You need to take a breath. Breathe into those damaged alveoli. Breathe out slowly.
Excuse me.
Now, here's the thing. When you take a break, when you come back, and you do some news with Tim, you can just kind of stick in here. Now, here's the thing. We will take calls from the audience. We will have the audience suggest an alternate method for you to quit smoking if they have one. But by the same token, if the audience's general consensus is that this is the method to go with, that's it. I mean, if the audience comes up with something better, that's fine. But I suspect the audience is going to agree that this is something likely to have an effect on you. So, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this with Tim Riley and Scotty J's attempt to quit smoking. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. A few minutes, the glorious return of Scotty J to the program. In the meantime, in between time, please make way for the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So there's going to be lightning after dark, and make sure you're not walking around outside wearing an iPod, because you'll be struck by lightning. As this Canadian man was, a Canadian runner in Vancouver, was his iPod was struck by lightning, and he blew out both his eardrums.
He fractured
his lower jaw, and the lightning hurled him 8 feet into the air.
Jesus.
Burns along the man's chest and neck leading to his ear injuries also correspond to the positions of the earphones at the time of the lightning strike.
Well, you always hear that there's a story that goes around on radio all the time, and everybody claims to know a guy that this happened to.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear on radio that if you're on the mic and there's a lightning storm and it hits the tower just right, that, you know, you always hear about. So there was this guy named Jeff who used to work in Spokane, and the story always was that the stick was right in the backyard of the station, the tower, you know, the transmitter, was right there, lightning storm hits it, goes in, and either goes into the microphone or goes into his headphones or something, and blows him off his chair, and he was unconscious for like half an hour. And I don't know whether that's a real thing that happens or whether that's made up. That's one of those things that Craig Adams would know. But man, the lightning is freaky, man. Lightning is terrifying.
It is. So expect some tonight. One person was flown by lifeline to the hospital after a commercial truck rear-ended a flatbed truck along I-5 this afternoon. This happened at milepost 274 in Woodburn. Traffic backed up quickly at the scene. And this cavernous truck, don't ask me what it's made out of. It's got to be made out of fiberglass or something, but it's totally wrecked after you hit the back of a very small truck. Then I got this in email. Don't ask me if it's true or not. But it said a shipping company here in Portland, in cooperation with Homeland Security, is conducting a local drill scenario. That being a 10-kiloton nuke is smuggled into PDX via a shipping container. What to do? What to do? Well, they'll find out at this
shipping place.
I thought everything was being smuggled in my shoes at the airport.
No, no. Yeah. It can be brought up the Columbia River. Because don't forget, there's that one state trooper with a broken payphone on the coast protecting Oregon from who knows what.
I feel safer already. Fantastic.
So apparently this is going out at Maersk Shipping. An intoxicated man who was kicked off a MAX train last night was arrested by Hillsborough police after he allegedly tried to pick a fight at a nearby apartment complex. Miguel Gutierrez is charged with all kinds of stuff. He was kicked off the westbound MAX train by Tramit fare inspectors at 9 o'clock last night. Well, it's good that they're on there. I guess they got some money from the government so they can afford to put some people on the train style. This fellow had bloody knuckles and a bloody mouth. He got in a confrontation with another guy who shot him with an airsoft gun. It's a toy that looks like a real firearm, but it shoots plastic pellets, which are supposed to be against the law in Beaverton. But you got to protect yourself. Ignore the law if it comes down to you or somebody with a bloody mouth and bloody hands try to kill you.
I don't even know where this news comes from sometimes. I really don't.
Doesn't matter.
I feel high today. I don't know why. I feel loopy or something. All right.
Well, the fate of Miss New Jersey will be decided at some point today after meeting with a pageant board to review photographs sent by her blackmailer. Amy Palumbo revealed the photographs on NBC's Today Show. They're all over the place. She says she wants the matter to end and says some newspapers have printed pictures that she's not in. Palumbo says there's no nudity but some embarrassing ones that show, like, her boyfriend with his mouth on her breast.
He's being very silly and immature, but he's also very intelligent. And this was meant to be private.
As is she,
not
clearly.
Accessible to the general public.
Oh, but it is now.
It is now.
He does appear to be, and I'm speaking now clinically. This is a news segment on this, a news talk radio station,
mm-hmm.
operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. He does, in these photographs, weirdly enough, appear to be biting her breast through her clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, to each their own. It's just kind of a strange-looking photograph.
Miss New Jersey tells the Today Show that one photo shows her drinking.
Yes, but I was of age.
Okay, whatever. Miss New Jersey was sitting there licking one of her stumps.
Miss New Jersey says the revealing photographs are very difficult for her.
I'll stick to my stomach. I really do. They're not that bad, but they were meant to be private, and it's making me feel very vulnerable that the entire country has to see them now.
Yes. How will you ever live up to the title of Miss New Jersey at this point?
You've dishonored the crown.
you've brought shame to the gangland state. What is New Jersey? What state is that?
Garden State.
Is it the Garden State?
Yes,
really?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Why is it called that?
People like to garden there.
I knew you were going to say that. Before the words even left my mouth.
No, it's a beautiful garden state. Uh-huh. Once you get past the top part of New Jersey where they dump dead bodies from New York.
I was going to say, once you scrape off that first layer of scum right off the top. Okay.
A Posh Spice says her friends haven't asked her to join the Church of Scientology. Victoria Beckham, who's tight with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, calls Tomcat generally lovely people. She tells the Today Show that Cruise and Holmes have not discussed Scientology with her at all.
Yeah, I mean, they do their thing. We do our thing.
That was a soundbite.
That's the in-depth musings of Posh. Have you seen, what is it, the cover of Vanity Fair? What's that magazine now where it's got Posh Spice and David Beckham on the front?
Oh, all kinds of things.
And they don't look anything like themselves. They look totally different. They both look all, I mean, I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm saying, physically speaking, they look like some of the people you see in certain parts of Portland who've been on the pipe for a long time. Mm-hmm. You can see her spine, like every single detail of every bone in her body. She is what Tom Wolfe would call a social X-ray. I mean, she is probably she's unbelievably skinny. I mean, to the point that it just is sort of stomach churning. And then he doesn't look anything like himself either. He looks like one of Sarah's boyfriends. He's all like rail thin, but he has like his bleach blonde hair and everything. They just look sickly, and they look like they ought to be licking a restroom floor with Pete Doherty somewhere. It just looks bad.
Oh,
all right.
Well, a new study suggests older adults have a harder time getting jokes as they age. The research indicates that because older adults may have greater difficulty with cognitive flexibility, abstract reasoning, and short-term memory, they also have greater difficulty with tests of humor comprehension. Researchers tested 40 healthy adults over the age of 65 and 40 undergraduate students with exercises in which they had to complete jokes and stories. Participants had to choose the correct punchline for verbal jokes and then select a funny ending for a series of cartoon panels. The research conducted by a graduate student and a psychology professor showed that younger adults did 6% better on verbal jokes, 10% better on comic portion than other older participants. This is a dumb survey, isn't it?
Humor.
I barely knew her.
See, that's ironic because... Never mind. Don't worry about it.
A new study shows women are in charge at home. Men might throw their weight around the office, but at home, the ladies are the boss. A study just released finds that wives have more power than the husbands to make decisions and dominating discussions.
Scotty has just crossed his arms over his chest and is shaking his head sternly to indicate that in the Jay household, there's only one pant wearer, and that pant wearer is him.
So the study at least suggests that the marriage is a place where women can exert some power. Whether or not it's because of changing social roles, we don't know. This was conducted by Iowa State University, ISU. Most of the research in psychology has suggested that women have less power. They are largely based on the fact that traditionally men earn more money. So therefore, they have the ability to make big decisions in the relationship.
Notable exceptions to that, aren't there, Scotty?
72 married couples, in which the spouses have an average of age of 33, have been married for at least 7 years. Most of the participants, 66%, were Caucasian, followed by Asians, 22%, Hispanics, 5%, African-American, 4%. The final 3% represented other nationalities.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll have more news from Tim Riley in just a short while here. We got the top five we got to get through at some point. Scotty J is here. There's so many directions in which Scotty J needs to be taken today. First of all, so any update on Gabe Kaplan?
No.
Okay.
She sounded so excited.
No, she didn't. Clearly she didn't.
People sound excited to get me off the phone, apparently. And I tried to
No, it's great. No, I got to go. No, really.
I already tried to get a hold of Dan Saltzman, and I was screened. The screener was screened.
Dan Saltzman came. Did you tell him? Did you say, we sat next to him at the PDX Teen Idol competition?
Yeah, and she goes, well, hang on. And then she
hang
goes,
hang on. I'll put you straight to his voicemail.
She comes back, and she goes, I'll let him know. I'll let him know you called.
Oh, really?
So it was like
I wonder if she asked him, and he went, oh, God, those clowns.
Probably.
Yeah,
and so I sent him an email.
That must hurt.
I said, we found a niche for calling you.
They kept sitting next to me saying hot as balls all the time.
and we want to, like, we feel like we should call you whenever we have city questions, like running around naked,
no.
For
did
instance.
You really
yes,
say
I
that?
Did, 100% in the email. Hey, you've got to be truthful with the guy.
You told the city commissioner
that whenever we have city issues, it would be great to talk to you.
It'd be great if we could call him every time we have a question about the city, like running around nude.
In the city, yes.
Yeah, he'll get right back to us, I'm sure. Thanks for burning that bridge.
I didn't burn it.
Thanks so much.
I'll go down there and bring him a Subway sandwich.
Show up and stand in the lobby with some weird food.
Hey, this
for
is
him.
A Portland hoagie.
That always works. All right. Well, okay. We've got these calls to get to, and Scotty's stop smoking method. And then later on, some other discussions with Scotty. All right, so here's the deal. So Scotty has tried and once again failed to quit smoking under his own power. And so he has put his stop smoking, he has put his next attempt to stop smoking in the hands of the Rick Emerson Show and audience. And so we are trying to arrive at a method by which Scotty will no longer smoke. Now, we ran through a whole bunch of ideas yesterday.
Two.
I'm just setting the stage. Don't interrupt. Marie setting. We ran through a bunch of ideas yesterday, and we came up with two real strong methods of aversion therapy, as they call it. Now we have two. The first, and the one that got the strongest reaction from Scotty, was that for each cigarette he smokes after his, you know, after we begin this, every time he smokes a cigarette, we will have a man come in and, lips gently parted, kiss Scotty on the ear.
Now, you said you weren't going to put me in harm's way.
It's not in harm's
That's
way.
Harmful.
Don't be an ass. It's not in harm's way. So that was it. Now, a close runner-up was every time you smoked, you have to take public transit to work and back home the next day.
Yeah, that would suck.
Well, you know.
Huh. Well, I mean, which would you prefer, Scotty?
It's not like every time you smoke, we can give you a lap dance and $10. It doesn't really work that way.
Across the Broadway, like somebody suggested.
Uh-huh. And so you claim, though, that we have not taken enough alternate ideas. We haven't taken enough calls
that
from the
is
audience.
True.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We will go through a few banks of calls. But you know what? I suspect that the people are going to want the kissing method. So we'll just take these calls kind of as they come. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Who
might
this
be? Well, Sarah came up with this idea, but I guess it is invasive. I think you should get a nose ring every time he fails to.
Ooh.
But
no.
In lieu of that, maybe a poster. He'd have to carry a poster around criticizing the Bush administration.
Maybe you should have to donate money to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Exactly.
Every time
that
you smoke.
Would suck. Yeah, he'd hate that.
Every time you smoke, for every cigarette, you have to donate $5 to the Elect Hillary campaign.
Oh, that would suck.
Quick question to
Hold
Sarah.
On. Hold on. I'm going to write this down. Now, that did get a good response. So we have at the top, we have Man Kiss, below that public transit.
I think Man Kiss is near the bottom.
Donate yeah. to Hillary.
And carry a poster downtown so it gets publicly humiliated.
Oh.
Maybe I can go
oh,
by
like
Dan's
big,
office.
Do a protest for Hillary.
Totally.
Yeah.
Actually do
signs.
A full-on like yeah. marching for Hillary.
With a Hillary t-shirt.
And I could do it naked by Dan's office, right?
And also, Sarah, I was always wondering, what happens if you get into some kind of fisticuffs with your
An
nose
altercation?
Ring in. Yeah.
I guess I will be in a horrible, horrible pain.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Oh,
yeah.
You should have a quick release mechanism. All right, take care. Bye.
All right, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I was thinking for every cigarette, he has to eat a slug.
No, not a gun. That only works once.
Kill yourself.
Eat a slug. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I like your idea, Scotty, but it's that is a long term solution, though, I guess. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You need to have a punishment that really fits the crime, and smokers are known as kind of nefarious people, right? So you need to have them dress up in a trench coat, a brimmed hat, sunglasses, and he can only smoke in an alley.
I don't really know that that would be any sort of deterrent to Scotty. Have you seen the way he dresses now? I mean, really, honestly, let's come on.
Well, it should be a condition that whenever he smokes, he has to do something. Or he has to use one of those Cruella de Vil long stem smoke things.
Yeah, the Hunter Thompson. The cigarette holder's kind of cool, though. He like the penguin. Yeah, all right. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. How say ye about Scotty's quit smoking technique?
Well, I agree with Scotty. I think having a guy kiss him is undue punishment there.
Well, first of all, it's only a punishment for Scotty, and that's only because of Scotty's rather narrow-minded social outlook. And secondly, it only happens if he smokes, which he claims he doesn't want to.
But it should be about healing, not hurting.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well have him get it from in the backside from a prison inmate there. I mean, it's same difference.
Yes, it's exactly the same. Yeah, thanks so much.
My idea is make him how far away he lives. From work, but
he lives way out in the beef.
Make him ride his bike to work, you know, that way he exercises his lungs a little bit.
I don't think you can even do that if he even wanted to. Like that Sean Couples guy, though, he roller skated from Vancouver. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how about this one? Every time he smokes, he's got to smoke a cigarette from a special pack made up of smokes that have been dipped in various substances or orifices.
Okay, harm to the body again.
Seriously, and then that requires someone to do said dipping. And
what happened to getting mentally
That's just
well.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, just save a couple that aren't dipped, and then that way he can, you know, it's like a crapshoot.
So to speak. Thank you. Bye. Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
How's it going?
What's up?
I think you should get Scotty one of those dog shock collars.
Now, that's a good idea. Those don't cause permanent physical damage.
No, because it won't hurt him. It'll just really shock him a lot.
There
you
know,
once he smokes, have him come in and just have him, like, bark, because that's what sends him off. And then it shocks him.
He has to bark like a dog and be shocked.
That would be funny.
You're really right about that. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, bye now.
That would be kind of hilarious.
We'll do a few more here, and then we'll put it through a vote. Hi, Rick Emerson program.
Hey, Rick. How's
hey,
it going?
What's up?
Hey, you should have them go to get hypnotized to stop smoking, but when they do it, have them put in a little suggestion, like every time he reaches for a cigarette, he clucks like a chicken or moves like a cow.
And we'll pay for your hypnotism
Seriously.
Only if they give you some other little,
so
like,
then,
kick.
I'm not asking you to pay for anything.
No, but arrange. Arrange for your hypnotism, but with the codicil that they've implanted some suggestion in you.
Because you don't know what it is.
That every time you try
I'm a pogo stick.
That every time you try to smoke, you must then say out loud, I really love that Hillary Clinton.
Something.
Or, I long to have sex with Carl Weathers.
Oh.
There you go. Write that down. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye now.
See, right. I'm thinking it should be about, you know, healing. It should be about not...
Yeah, but people heal in different ways. I mean, but it's something,
not, we're healing your
you
lives.
Get a, it's not you get a spanking
if something
you,
is motivating
if you,
you to
fall
not,
off the wagon.
No, but if something's motivating you to not smoke, whereas you don't want some guy kissing your ear, that motivates you to not put a cigarette in your mouth.
You will eventually be healed by this method, Scotty. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, I think so far the man love has invoked the strongest reaction there.
It really has. He keeps going back to that in a lot of weird ways. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
Hey, can you take me out with a goddamn?
Come on, Scotty.
Bye now.
Goddamn.
All right, I got to isolate that. We'll do one more, and then we'll vote. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick, this is John. I just had him swallow the butt after he's done smoking each one.
Ew.
That'll make you...
Yeah,
you
that might actually
cancer.
Harm you. Does that cause physical harm?
Sure.
Not to me.
Good answer. Thank you. All right. Okay, so
we've got no answers other than
I took
agreeing with the man thing, and there was no suggestions other than one guy said hypnosis, which sounds
wait,
to
hold
me
on,
like
wait, hold on, let me understand. Hold on, let me understand this.
It's like you're making him pick one.
Hold on, you asked me to go to the phones and see if there were alternate suggestions. So now you're upset that I did not stack the calls in advance favor the outcome you wanted.
You placed a bug in their ears favoring your method.
Well,
like,
I have a favorite method. Are these calls screened?
No, but you said...
Did I screen the calls in advance, or did I just take them as they came in? I did not in any way control what they said.
And there were a lot more...
But you did say, I'm pretty certain that they're going to go with the man one. But anyways, here we go with the calls. I mean, so you put
it doesn't matter. They're free to vote however they want. They are, as my grandmother used to say, free, white, and 21, Scotty. They can do whatever they like. All right. So, Sarah, the question is, should we vote here or should we take a break and vote on the other side?
I say we take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Calm Scotty J down a little bit.
Seriously. You're just becoming a little exercised about this. All right.
You shouldn't have said yes.
Or you should have just stuck with your quit smoking plan the last time you did it. That's what I'm saying. Think about how this whole thing could have been avoided if you had just quit smoking last time.
Right, but I thought it was going to be, get me enrolled in a program, not get me in a punishment situation.
Well, you thought Mount Hood was going to be a good use of your money, too. back after this, it's 503-733-2970. When we return, we will do an Insta poll to determine the method by which Scotty J smokes no more. Stay there. Hello there, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. If you're sending me an email right now, I may or may not be getting it. My email's kind of gone belly up, as they say. It's 503-733-2970. Lycus coming up today, and Lycus 101 at 5 o'clock, down to Mike at 7. I don't know if you heard that Don Geronimo's retiring from Don and Mike. He's retiring at the end of next May. So May 30, 30 days, half September, April, June, 31st, whatever, of May, 2008, it's going to be the last show with Don Geronimo. I don't know if the show's going to go on or not, but people have sent me some emails about that. They heard rumors or whatever, but it's true. They've confirmed that. So Don and Mike will persist. It's not one of those days. I can't come up with the right word. Anyway, the show's going to continue all the way through next May, and at that point, who knows? But anyway, so Don and Mike tonight at 7. Listen while it's there, kids. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So just to recap, for those who came in late, we have Scotty J, who wishes to quit smoking, and who, as Sarah noted, by the way, is all gung-ho for these ideas, and then becomes, as Sarah put it quite accurately, a little bitch.
You do become a little bitch, because you act like you're all for it, and you're going to go for the idea, and then as soon as it gets closer and closer, you start to throw little temper tantrums like you're doing now.
You become very sullen.
Well, first of all, good afternoon, Woodburn, for all you people hanging out on the streets of Woodburn.
See, God help me, it's funny. I know I'm not supposed to laugh.
I thought he was going to say something mean, Mac.
No, it's, I mean...
Now, what are you saying, Sarah?
Scotty?
Don't be a dick.
You know what I just
this
said.
Is exactly what we're talking about.
I'm not becoming a bitch.
No, you are.
Deal.
You become very childlike. You become difficult. You become intentionally obstinate.
I will slowly explain one final time that you were talking about OMSI and doing hypnosis and this, that, and whatnot. And you
hold on. This, that, and whatnot. Please to explain this,
medical
that,
type,
and whatnot.
Medical type.
I never specified
programs.
That. I never specified that,
and,
ever.
And I said, well,
we
I'm just not ready
medical.
To do your
We never
said that. We never said medical.
You were talking
things.
About OMSI, and I go, I'm just not ready to quit smoking yet. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be fair, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He goes, well, will you enlist the help of the Rick Emerson Show and audience when you're ready? And I said, yes.
Okay.
And so now all
That's
of a sudden
it.
It's become a torture
okay,
chamber
but
contest.
Here's the thing. I never said medical methods. I never specified the methods at all. You agreed. So aversion therapy, and here's how we know it's going to work, by the way, because you're so horrified by all of these ideas. So here's where we are. We
yeah,
have
the one, yeah, if you keep pushing.
It doesn't sound very enjoyable to me.
Of course it's not
enjoyable.
It's supposed
to be enjoyable.
I think supposed to take a vacation and quit smoking.
I think when I smoke, I should get a rub down from, you know, from a hot Swedish bikini team competitor.
Okay.
I mean,
I guess what I was looking for is to mentally
you're looking to quit
block it out of my mind so I don't want to have that
not
smoke
gonna
anymore.
Happen. Or, that's not going to happen.
The,
There's
know,
no easy
action.
Way to
Scotty, there, Scotty, you're like one of those idiot Americans that's like, I want a diet where I can eat bacon all day.
One pill.
Doesn't exist. Doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. So what you want is to quit smoking. We are offering you
the alternative,
a method. We are offering you a method by which you will be motivated to not smoke.
Because there's not going to be any pleasant way for
and
you
it
to
is
quit
an
smoking.
Alternative method, if I might say that, to the community.
Don't do that. So what you want is to quit smoking. There is
sure.
no there is no painless method. There is no easy way to do it. That's why it's so hard for people to do. So we are offering you an aversion therapy-based method. So here are the three methods we have come up with. And so you do not think that I am unfairly stacking the vote. We will put this to the people. And we will
like
let the people
more
vote.
Ideas, though.
We will let the people. They don't have more ideas. We went through a whole. Dude, I went through the bank of phones three
We've gone
times.
Through, we had
you
like
were
10
here.
Ideas.
So here are the three that people have seized on, and we will let the people vote.
Or that Rick Emerson has seized on.
We will let the people vote, and then we will go with whatever method the people vote on. So
did we get to pick our top three?
Oh,
well,
we already have.
Here's what we have. I have this. We have three things. We have three different methods, A, B, and C. We have A. For each kiss, I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. A, for each cigarette that Scotty smokes, a man will come in and give him a gently, lips-parted, kind of gently suckling
and
kiss on the ear.
To, yes, and you know what? And the man is all right. He can lick his lips a little bit.
Yeah, beforehand, just like a... And then he goes and just kisses your ear ever so gently. Just a little soft, succulent kiss on your
just
earlobe.
Just a really soft, gentle
right
one.
Here on your earlobe, right by your neckline.
Just like a butterfly kiss.
Right here, right.
Just right there.
Yeah, right there where the short hairs of your neck are.
Can it be a gay woman?
No. No.
It'll
cannot.
Be torture for her as much as it is no. for me.
I'm not
why does,
into,
she, need
why does she need to be tortured?
I don't
That's
know.
A way, if we do do the
Why
the
do you hate gay
line,
women?
We need to find a gay man who would not be punished by kissing Scotty.
Oh, well.
Because there are many gay men out there. You're a very attractive man, Scotty.
Oh, I've gotten some emails already.
Are you saying
no,
that
I've,
many
I've,
a gay man finds me revolting?
Well, we're going to find that out if the people vote for that method.
They won't.
That'll be the next step. So, method A.
Don't question the people.
Okay, now, Scotty, you got to let me lay this out now. Method A, for each cigarette that Scotty smokes, he is given a succulent kiss on the earlobe by a gay man. Method B, each time Scotty smokes, he must take public transit to and from work, to his home in the suburbs. Method C, each time Scotty smokes, he must donate a small amount of money to the Hillary Clinton for President campaign.
No, see, I really like that if he dressed as a... not as a protester or whatever, just as a supporter.
Well, how would,
and
he,
then,
how would
and
we
to, like,
do
pick
it, though?
It like he did with the Show Me the Baby.
But how would he do it? Like, how would we, like, how often and when and how many after each cigarette? How, like, what would it the correlation be? Like, when would he have to do it and for how often? We'd have to figure that out. Well, let's just say this. We'll say then C is if you break your vow and smoke, you must actively, at our discretion, support the Hillary Clinton campaign in a reasonable manner.
And where's D, therapy of some sort?
That's no fun.
So there you go. So A, the man kiss. B, public transit. C, must support the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. We will now take the calls right now. We will do an Insta poll. It is 503 733 503-733-2970. A, Scotty must receive a gentle, succulent man kiss for each cigarette. B, Scotty must take public transit to and from work if he smokes. C, Scotty must support the Hillary Clinton for President campaign if he smokes.
That's
all right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which method say ye?
Should we have music?
I vote for method B with the alternate suggestion that every time he smokes, he's got to run a mile. If he wants something healthy. Right.
Do we have a bed? Do we have something?
There's some therapy there.
I'm sure I can find something.
See, I like that. There's right, therapy
you,
involved.
Sir. All right, hold
run
on.
Run a mile, that's hard.
Let's when see you if smoke, we have. What are we looking for?
I don't know, some kind of song.
Let's see, what bed do we want to play here? Seems like I should have a bed. All I have is the popcorn.
You know,
bed.
In a way, running a mile every time you smoke, that's pretty torturous, and you would get over that pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really listening to anything you're saying.
I know, because you want the man kiss thing.
I'm trying to find the... Do we have the news pile? We could do that, I suppose. Oh, there we go. Fantastic. That should be our new Instapoll bed. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which method say ye?
I say you rotate through all of them.
No. You got to pick one.
A.
Man kiss. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which method say ye for Scotty's quitting of the smoking?
I would say B, public transit, but I have a suggestion. Why
yes?
not put it in a box and make him pick it every single time he has a cigarette? That way there's no question of what he can do when he doesn't get comfortable with one specific method.
I'm sorry, in what? What is your... I don't understand.
Put it like in a raffle box.
What?
And he has every single time, like all the suggestions of the different methods.
Oh, he has to draw a punishment?
And he has to draw a punishment.
That is
kind of brilliant.
That is kind of interesting. It would make it a little tricky in that we would have to have access to a gay man at any given moment. Although I guess we'd have to do that anyway. That's an interesting idea. Scotty, would you accept that? Putting these three in a box and having you draw each time? You put these, in other words, and if you smoke, you draw from the box, and it's one of these three punishments that time.
Why can't there be a therapy one in there somewhere?
No. That time has passed.
Yeah, I would agree. If there's like
one therapy thing of some sort out of the four,
and then I'll pick out of the four, I might pick the gay man.
No.
And I still might pick the bus.
You're not hearing me.
But at least I would get help if I did pick the
therapy one. Let me rephrase.
And that's what you're not doing.
Let me rephrase this. No. All right. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello, what method say ye? Hi.
Rick, the box idea is a good idea. I like it, too. Scott is a Republican imbecile. I vote A, but I like the box idea. Then that way he knows what he's getting into. And does he not understand what aversion therapy is?
No. The answer to that is no.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
All right, hi. Gay men are already emailing me offering to kiss you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Which method say ye?
If I get to do it.
What is your name, sir?
Bob.
Bob? Are you offering to come in and give Scotty the succulent ear kiss?
Of course.
Now, do you find Scotty to be an attractive man?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about Scotty that you find physically attractive, sir?
He's a man.
Apart from the fact that he has the right set of genitals. In other words, is it his physique, his hair, his general persona?
The guns.
Or are you just not picky?
He's a good-looking guy.
It's the guns.
He is an attractive man. There are many photos on the net where I'm not saying that in an Eddie Haskell kind of way. Scotty's a good-looking man. So you like the... Now, would you give him the kiss on the earlobe or on the top of the ear?
Could I tongue him?
Probably not. No, we're saying lips. I think we did agree.
Lips to ear.
Lips parted. No tongue, but you are allowed to lick your lips beforehand.
Earlobe.
All right. Excellent. Is this Let's see. Does your email address end in AOL.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I know who you are.
Yeah.
All right. I will forward that to Sarah. Thank you, sir. We may be in touch.
All right.
And so might you.
Right. You might have to sample it, Rick.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson.
We do need someone to test it out on.
That is
we
true.
We do, Rick.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. What method say you?
First off, I have to say, I have never seen... This is the second day you guys have been selecting punishments, and I call a lot. And I've never seen the board so hard to get through to as when you're assigning punishments for Scotty.
People can't... It is a crowd pleaser.
They really... Yes, I know. It is like throwing meat to the... Well, whatever. I was going to say, is it possible that the man who's going to be kissing Scotty maybe not shave for a few days first?
Possibly. Now, is that a vote for that punishment?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else suggested that the gay man be himself a smoker so that Scotty gets, like...
He can be smoking while kissing
yeah,
Scotty.
Yeah, seriously. So he associates smoking with a gay kiss even more directly.
They could share a cigarette afterwards.
Yes, are you in fact a gay man? I simply ask out of curiosity.
No, sir, I'm not. But
there's that hick upbringing in mine where I instinctively say, "No offense," like it's the worst, like it's like some unforgivable. How, sir, I don't mean offense, but are you one of them?
Are you a gay fellow?
Are you a gay? All right.
Yeah,
so
are you the gay?
So you suggest that the person who kisses Scotty not shave for a while.
Oh yeah, because you know, I mean, you could just imagine that, you know, rubbing, bristling up against your skin. You know what I mean?
Scotty, imagine it now.
If a man kissing him is gonna really raise his hackles. Can you imagine like the whiskers?
That's the feel of a real man against your.
Have you ever seen The Magic Christian?
No, I have not.
Oh really? Oh God. Well, anyways, it's an obscure movie reference, but anyway, great show.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, what methods say ye for Scotty's smoking aversion therapy?
Oh, definitely the kissing.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What method choose you for Scotty's aversion therapy?
Oh, my God. Totally the gay kiss.
Okay.
And I'll volunteer.
Really? Now, are you a gay man?
I'm bi, actually.
Okay, excellent. So you have experience with kissing all kinds of ears. What celebrity do you most resemble, sir?
Well, when I was younger and I had a beard and long hair, I had a lot of women tell me I looked like Brad Pitt, circa Legends of the Fall.
So this would be like two Brad Pitts, because Scotty has been told he looks like Brad Pitt. So Sarah has become much more interesting.
Maybe Sarah can attest to that. She ran into her at the horse press a couple Mondays ago, so.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He's a good-looking fella.
He's an attractive man. Scotty, if you had to have sex with a male celebrity, who would it be? Because you're going to associate this with cigarette smoking, Scotty. Here's the thing.
It's all
Scotty,
coming up.
You,
it's cleaning up.
Let me just
Sarah.
Say this. You will either end this a non-smoker or more open-minded.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Seriously, you'll either lose your smoking or your homophobia. One of the two.
Hey, who said anything about me having homophobia?
I'm afraid of gay people.
No, I'm a speaker of the community.
Don't be an ass.
Yeah.
What is your name, sir?
My name's Chad.
Chad, can you send me an email and note in the subject line that it is you, and we'll put that on the pile.
Oh man, I don't have email access, but I will find it if that's what you need.
Public library.
Sir, why don't you put him on hold and I'll get his phone number.
He's on two. Okay. All right, we're gonna put you on hold. Stay there, sir. All right. And Sarah will talk to you, and she'll get your information. We'll get your contact. Chad, yeah, he's on two. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What punishment suggest ye for Scotty?
You know, I like the box idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Your mic's on there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Option A is always impressive, especially if the person has a tongue piercing.
Yes. Yeah, there's going to be no tongue, but they'll be allowed to wet their lips beforehand.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What punishment do you suggest for Scotty?
Scotty, you are screwed, dude. I gotta go with A.
Okay.
Just mainly because I think he deserves it more than anything. Oh, and another thing that I wanted to interject with, when you guys were trying to figure out what his first car was a couple weeks ago or whatever, dude, I desperately wanted it to be some kind of like cabriolet Volkswagen Rabbit or something like that.
A yellow Golf.
Oh man, I was praying for that.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, go for A.
Thank you, my friend.
Yep. See.
Why do I so deserve it?
Well,
I think people are seeing your reaction of how, like...
Seriously.
And the way you're saying, like, it's the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing
in the
world.
As I'm saying, Scotty,
an attractive gay man will just put his ears and put his
like
lipstick into your ear.
You know what? Germs can be spread and bodily harm can happen.
You know,
do you have, like, open wounds in your ears or something?
Sure, yes.
We're not going to have someone come in and, like, drip blood into your ear canal. And, you know, and again, as I said, you will either end this a non-smoker or open-minded. You know, so you benefit either way, Scotty. You'll be a better person regardless. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi. What punishment?
Hey, I go for A, definitely. Maybe throwing a hernia check or something.
Scoliosis exam. Would you please giggle for me? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What say ye for a punishment?
I say A, and it's going to be great when that guy's nose gets down by his ear and he breathes out a little bit and goes into the inside of his ear and this guy's going to get that little wiggle.
Totally. That's just a little chill on the back of your neck when his hot breath.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are kind of being mean, you know. I mean, I don't really like Scotty, so I don't care. But, you know, with his whole wife quitting and all this, you know, quitting smoking, this guy's not going to make it 30 days.
Well, no, but
I know, because they're giving me no program to quit. They're just saying you're going to get kicked by a gay guy.
Can I help you? Can I tell you something? In all seriousness, 3 weeks ago, I offered you a program run by OMSI, which you declined.
Well,
that's why I don't feel bad about this.
Yeah, you know what? And you actually put up a little, like, fit about that.
You really didn't fit about it. I offered you a free program run by OMSI
to do ready to do it. But secondly, I got a message in
there. That train has already left.
They might still be doing it. So who knows?
That's what? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What punishment say ye for Scotty?
I think he needs the man kiss.
All right. Don't we all, sir? Thank you. All right, we'll finish out this bank. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, what punishment do you suggest?
Gay man by far. Just let him have his will with Scotty J. Gay man all the way.
Let him have his way with Scotty J.
I bet have your way with Scotty J. You need to make an ad on your website.
Have your way with Scotty J. That's a wee for a wee.
People need to send in headshots, though, too. We must.
Sounds like a Burger King commercial.
What do you mean? Oh, shots of shots of their face.
Hello.
Hello.
People need to send
goodbye,
in.
If it's A.
People need to send in headshots. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I have one question. Okay, so Scotty
only
works
right to
with
Scotty
the...
too. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, Scotty works at the radio station for, you know, 5-6 hours a day.
Yeah.
What's to keep him from smoking when he gets home? He could go home and just hotbox a whole pack.
Well, that's going
to
be the next step, is figuring out exactly.
We have to get Mrs. Janet. Yeah. Oh, but Mrs.
So
Janet.
So why am I not
too?
Being offered some kind of program to keep me from
you
thinking
were
about
offered
smoking
a program?
A pack?
I offered you something well, 3 weeks ago that you declined.
You offered a medical program.
Okay,
that you
well,
declined. No, Will, that'll be the next step, is figuring out how we verify his behavior when he's not here.
Maybe
okay, well, isn't Mrs. J also a smoker?
Yes, she
but
is.
Maybe
and isn't
Mrs.
that
children.
Maybe not the best support?
No, it's true. We'll figure it out. That'll be we'll cross that bridge when this begins.
Okay.
All
right. Well,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right,
well,
more.
Scotty said how his children beg him to quit smoking. We just need to find a way
Look,
to
I'm
talk
the one
to
who
them.
Said I want to quit smoking, but I don't want to quit smoking with a gay man's tongue in my ear. I mean...
There will be no tongue! How many times do I have to say this? He will lick his lips lasciviously beforehand, though. You keep saying tongue in your ear a lot, by the way. That
well,
phrase...
whatever.
Tongue in my ear. That phrase has
okay,
come out of your mouth like 100
way.
Times
gay
today.
Gay man's tongue even near my ear.
Oh, it's going to be near your ear. Hi, final call. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What punishment do ye suggest for Scotty?
Oh, definitely gay kiss to the ear. Excellent. Or, if Scotty can't handle that, a swift kick to the nards.
Fantastic. We get to Rochambeau
That's
for it.
That's right. This or that.
Yeah.
Kick him hard in the crotch.
Play this or that.
Yes, right.
Now, you're not going to know if it's this or that. We're just going to let you pick one
All
or
right.
two.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Excellent.
Well, it looks like the votes are
well,
in.
Well, Scotty, the
is
votes
it
have been tallied.
Fantastic, Rick.
It really
fantastic.
Is. By a landslide. By the
was anything else actually even voted for?
We got two votes right off the bat for public transit. Every other vote was
and
for the
running
man kiss.
A mile. I mean, that's the kind of therapy you do. I mean, that's punishment. What if it,
well,
what,
if only people had chosen that, it'd be what you do.
Four cigarettes, and you got to run 4 miles.
Do you remember when Sarah was talking about you being a little bitch? This is exactly what we're talking about right
Right, because
here.
It's all centered around the man and his passion.
Scotty, if you've been trying to quit your entire life, what makes you think your idea is going to be good?
Seriously, in fact, the track record indicates that none of your ideas are good.
So we come up with something completely out there because you've done the patch and the gum and whatever else
you know
you've
who
done.
Will totally kiss Scotty?
Who?
Byron Beck.
Oh,
in your face and ear. Oh, that's
Ooh.
Byron Beck, he does the queer window from the Willamette. He will, but he'd probably pay us for that. Fantastic. Byron, just drop me an email. Excellent.
Oh, I'll call Byron after the show. He does have a real job, though. What if he won't be able to come here?
Oh, he'll make time.
Damn.
You know he'll make time. He made time that to come to the studio that one time just to feel my ass. You know that he'll he'll make time if he gets to kiss Scotty's ear. Excellent. Well done. It's 503-733-2970. All right. We probably don't have time to continue this on the other. We got news to get to. We got this top five to do. All right. Well,
so
we'll
now we're established.
We're established. Now comes the time where we take submissions from the various men who are interested. We decide if it's one man, a succession of rotating men. So we'll figure it out. You said it's a Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Here's the Dropkick Murphys.
Scotty, do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn it. This joy, this guy is joy, everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes. Hell
what
yes.
What were your thoughts on the women of that loss?
The women of Outlaws tonight were un-freaking-believable.
What was hot about them?
Ass.
Anything else or just the ass?
Tops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight? If you had one thing to say to them.
Scotty J, I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
No, it's a girl. I have the vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about a 30 woman tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all a numbers game.
Yes, it is. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program, live from Portland. It's a good time to be alive. 503-733-2970. A full bank of calls here that we'll try to get to. But first, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's the one and only Tim Riley.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
After 30 years, this is the day. Well, coming soon will be the day the music died on Northwest 23rd as Music Millennium closes its doors at the end of August. Mm. The owner said the downtrend of CD and DVD sales due to digital music and rising neighborhood rents combined a grim outlook. But he's going to keep the West Burnside store open. So that is good news if you like that store. The governor has declared a state of emergency due to forest fires and the fact that there's going to be several lightning strikes tonight causing some brand new fires. Now, if you see a wildfire approaching your home, according to the governor, he sends along these little helpful hints. Call 911. Then close all your entrances, doors, windows, and other openings to prevent the flames from coming into your home. Turn off all residential fuel. If you have gas, shut it off. Then evacuate immediately. But you're going to have to open up the door again to evacuate. And please stay out of harm's way, says the governor's office. Get an update on the Miss New Jersey thing. The Miss New Jersey pageant board met 2 hours this afternoon before board member Mark Sofer announced his decision about this girl who posed for scantily clad pictures and other revealing things.
The directors are in unanimous agreement. They have decided that based upon the materials they have on hand and have reviewed, and because of Amy's forthrightness and the manner in which she revealed the photos on TV, Amy Palumbo should continue her reign as Miss New Jersey.
Yeah, she was really forthright once she was blackmailed over it. Yes, Miss Palumbo is pleased with the decision.
I'm very happy about this decision, and I look forward to resuming my agenda as Miss New Jersey.
Your agenda.
I want to thank the board for their amazing support, and I also want to apologize for all the trouble that this has caused.
Do these girls all have one voice that they share? Because they all talk
that Valley
like
Girl thing?
Yeah, they all, yeah, it's like they all talk like a Valley Girl Tweety Bird.
An elderly Virginia woman who stepped out to pick up her newspaper this morning was startled when she came back inside to find an intruder using her toilet. Police spokesman Natasha Bedlow said the woman told police she noticed a man she'd never seen before around the neighborhood. Didn't think anything of it until she found him in the bathroom.
She challenged him verbally as much as she could, basically, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? He spoke Spanish, so she didn't understand what he was saying. She did ask him how long he was going to be and told him that she was going to call the police.
Time for a penis watch.
Here's your... Oh, this is the one we didn't get to yesterday. Oh, this is fantastic. Penis watch for Thursday.
Enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
This comes to us from Harvard Square, where a restaurant employee tied a tourniquet around his bloody penis and continued to work for several hours after armed robbers stabbed him. But management at Z Square Restaurant suspect the worker lied about the incident and is now trying to fire him. A 45-year-old East Boston man who's an overnight cleaner at the restaurant told police he was stabbed by two black men in their 20s outside of Z Square Restaurant at 14 JFK Street. But on Wednesday, right after the story was first reported, police told the newspaper that the victim recanted his story, saying the incident actually occurred outside of Cambridge. Police said the victim was refusing to give any more details about the incident, including where the attack took place or why he recanted the story in the first place.
Or how it is that he came to be stabbed in the penis. That's what everybody wants to know.
Right.
It doesn't really, I don't think anybody really cares who did it or where it happened. Of all the places you could stab somebody, why would you stab somebody in the penis? What did the guy do to call for that? And then why would you not go to a hospital or, you know, home for the day?
Maybe he doesn't have insurance. This isn't Canada, you know, or France or Great Britain. You walk around here with a bloody penis and nobody cares. You don't like it? Call our elected officials. Somebody's going to put a stop to this.
Who do you want to fix his penis? Ivan. All right. Okay, never mind. I withdraw the comment.
This would end if we let the socialists take over the medical system now, wouldn't it? Until then, keep that rag wrapped around that bloody penis and thank God you're an American. Well, apparently, the restaurant doesn't want to be associated with the penis stabbing.
I'm sorry, I can't even form words.
So what's the name of the restaurant, did it say?
Z-Square.
Stabbies.
Apparently, after the 3 a.m. attack, the victim, who noticed he was bleeding from the groin...
noticed.
Ran back into the restaurant bathroom and tied a knot around his penis to stop the bleeding. The victim told police he then continued to work till 5 a.m.
That's what I'm saying. That's an American work ethic right there.
Yep. Working two or three jobs with a bloody penis? What could be more American?
Some guys go home and they get a hangnail.
He eventually went to Boston Medical Center and was treated for a 3-inch cut to his penis. He was treated and released.
Oh, it's so horrible. All right.
So that's that.
There you go. There's your horrific penis watch for Thursday.
Take a look at my
Rick Emerson show.
Penis.
Jesus.
And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Well, here's something that makes us all feel a little bit older. A brand new program premieres on VH1 this weekend. Scott Baio is 45 and single.
45 years old.
Yeah, oh, I know. We'll follow the never-been-married Charles in Charge alumnus as he explains why he's still single and unable to settle down like a real man. He'll confront his dating path. He's living in this childish world.
Why aren't you married with 15 children?
Can't find the right one? A Rock of Love with Brett Michaels premieres this Sunday at 9 o'clock.
I have no interest in that because isn't that
and
just...
Scott Baio right after that.
Isn't the Brett Michaels thing just a knockoff of Flavor of Love?
I suppose so.
It's Rock of Love,
yeah,
though.
Brett Michaels is the 45-year-old lead singer of the rock band Poisson. He's looking for love and dating some 25 young ladies.
Good for him.
He's hoping to find a woman who can truly keep up with his rock and roll lifestyle.
Yes, yeah, that's got to be real hard at this point. Keeping up with the... As they roll into... God love them if they roll into Silverton last week. Yes, I'm sure it's difficult. Scott Baio, also recently known to people of this generation as Bob Loblaw from Arrested Development. So there you go. And he's still single? Who was it that we found out that he slept with that we were all amazed by? Scott Baio. Not Aaron Moran.
Oh, didn't he lost his virginity to somebody famous?
It was Aaron Moran, though, I thought. Joni.
Yeah, because I remember the obligatory.
Joni loves Chachi. Yeah. He slept with somebody really hot that you would never have thought he would have slept with. It was like somebody much younger than him. It was like an Alyssa Milano type, but I don't think it was her. It was somebody really young that you never would have thought, like Scott Baio, like who even knew he existed? But he was like getting it on with some like 19-year-old starlet or something. Mm. Well, God love him. All right.
The Apprentice star Donald Trump can't resist a dig at former The View co-host Rosie O'Donnell while promoting his new line of office chairs. According to the New York Daily News, Trump told reporters, quote, "Somebody asked me how Rosie O'Donnell would like these chairs. Well, they're not strong enough. We'll have to make them stronger."
Did he really say
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
I have to give it, I think there's a Dennis Miller promo where he makes a comment like this, but I have to give it to Trump. He's relentless. It's like scorched earth warfare with that guy. All right. Excellent.
And speaking of hot chicks, and you wouldn't expect someone to be with, what is it with this rash of photos of David Spade with all these hot babes everywhere in the past week?
I don't know what that's all about.
A new PR person or something?
I wonder about that, actually, because I know that he's famous to some degree, and I guess he's maybe got a little money or whatever, but still, he's David Spade. And he's totally got some complex, too, because, you know, he's a diminutive man, but he doesn't even just date girls his own head. It's like he has to date girls who are like 6'5". Every time you see David Spade with a girl, she's like some Amazon woman. So you're right. I do wonder if there is.
It's in the past week.
I mean, is there some
with all these hot chicks?
There's got to be some service in Hollywood where if you want to get yourself photographed with some hot date, and when I say escort, I don't mean a prostitute. I mean literally where you hire somebody and you get yourself photographed where it looks like you're on a date with some babe or whatever. But you're right. David Spade is always doing that.
He's so icky.
He really. I find
he never
him
washes.
No.
He looks like a snotty little man.
He changes his undergarments.
He reeks of his own filth.
All right, so Scott Baio slept with, were you thinking Pamela Anderson or Heather Locklear?
No, but...
No,
ding,
that's David Spade.
Ding and ding. I mean...
And Liza Minnelli.
Oh, that's humorous.
Liza Minnelli and Scott Baio?
Yeah.
Really? That's weird.
He's writing a book also called 70s. How I Dated and Loved Hollywood's Most Beautiful Women and Ended Up Alone.
Aww.
Can I not laugh? That's supposed to be funny, right?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's funny or not. All right. I have nothing. I don't know. Oh, look, Scotty's trying to weasel out of it. You know how he's trying to weasel out of it? He's trying to get the OMSI guy back on the phone. That's so sad.
What a conniving little bastard.
Look at this. Lee, OMSI quit smoking program on warm line. No.
No.
It's too late.
Love you, Lee.
Thanks, Lee. Sorry, it's too late, though. Scotty declined your help. All right, let's just go through these calls here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Brad.
What's up?
Brad.
Hey, I've had the great pleasure of delivering a car to David Spade.
Really? Was he a dick?
In L.A., he was the biggest whiny puke. It was... 7 Series BMW, and he had the hottest assistant possible. And his response to the car goes, oh, it's really complicated. I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah, no, he just seems like an ass. He just seems like a smarmy little ass who tripped and fell into Chris Farley, which is how he got famous.
He was unwashed and just...
unwashed. Just Tim geek. Nailed it. He was unwashed. He is Joe Dirt. All right, excellent. Thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, is this me?
It is.
It's like every third call comes from Henry David Thoreau. Yes, this is you.
Hi, Rick. This is Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Listen, I was a smoker for 40 years.
I would never have known that.
There is more to quitting smoking than just laying down your cigarettes. There's a whole mental and physical thing that goes along with it, and I think it's terribly unfair of you to lean on Scotty the way you are.
Oh, no, we know that there's a mental aspect to it, and that's exactly the area we're focusing on.
Well, in that case, I think Sarah should quit smoking, too.
Sarah has no desire to quit
the
smoking.
Desire to.
Scotty repeatedly expresses the desire to quit smoking. Sarah does not.
And I'm not a full, like, all the time. Like, Scotty, as soon as we're off there, he's, like, out there puffing away. Well, I'm more of, like, a social going out and having a couple beers.
And even if you were a full-time smoker, Sarah has never expressed a desire to quit smoking. Scotty repeatedly expresses the desire to quit. Sarah does not wish to quit.
Then he's building up to it, and I think...
He's not building up to anything. He's tried like 40 times. He's building up to a big fat ticket to nowhere.
Oh, I think you're being too hard on Scotty.
I am not being... Now, you know what? We attempted several weeks ago to get Scotty to work with
Rick and I actually had separate meetings off of the show to try and talk about it because Scotty was being so unreceptive of this very nice thing that OMSI was offering.
Because we wanted this program from OMSI to work with him, and Scotty refused to take part in it. We have tried numerous times for that, so...
Patience has run out.
It's true. That time
That's
has
kind of
passed.
It, yeah.
Okay, on a different note, real fast.
Uh-huh.
I worked with a guy named Moss, and he was from a little town in Alaska, and his name was Moss Grows Freely. And that really was his name.
And that young man. Okay. Thank you, Sky.
Bye.
All right, bye now.
I have one more very good story.
Okay, fantastic.
I saved the best one.
Jim Riley.
Well, the Coast Guard had to rescue a suicidal man from a jetty on the coast last night. They had reports of a naked man on the jetty around the Yakina Bay around 5 o'clock. So they get there, and they find this man
who was trying to commit suicide. He had put on a pair of pants. He filled up his pants with rocks. And then he tied a rope around himself and leaped into the ocean. But the rope snapped, throwing the man with the rocks in his pants up against the rocks. So he was stranded. The man allowed rescuers to put handcuffs on him and to be helped aboard the Coast Guard helicopter.
Excellent.
And your tax money is paying for the naked man who tried to commit suicide with rocks in his pants.
There's just no defense against the stupid. There really isn't. All right. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in the history of the world.
I'm so happy we live where we live.
Right? It's true.
We don't have this much fun anyplace else.
It's like living inside one big show prep role-playing game. All right, Tim returns at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour all the way through Lycus. We'll come back and recap and wrap it up after this. Lycus next. Lycus 101 at 5, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. We continue next. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Queen. I'm late. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcast today, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us up next, Donna Mike at 7. Join us tomorrow when our guests will include Aaron Duran from geekinthecity.com. All right. How long do we have here? Like a minute?
Yeah, about a minute and a half.
All right. So I have no time. No time for any of these calls. Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going?
Hi. So tomorrow we'll begin auditioning gay men. Or is the case, man. We even got some straight men volunteer. We have a gay man. We got a couple gay men, a bi man. We've got this. Rick, let's see. A guy, we had some guy here who said he was willing to take one for the team. Let's see, what did we say? Where did this go? I am not gay, but I'll take one for the team. I choose A. I will come in and give Scotty a sweet, sweet kiss if I need to. Signed, Rodriguez, out.
Now, can we have the gentle cupping of his shoulders as he leans in to give a...
Yeah, I could see that.
Isn't there some kind of CBS no-touching type rule?
Clearly not.
No, are you kidding?
It's not prison.
By the way, our good friend down at OMSI that you refused to take the call from.
Okay, hold on.
Tomorrow you might.
First of all, we're doing the news.
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to cut Tim Riley off.
Right.
And there's no time here.
Okay, so maybe tomorrow. Let's say my train has passed.
Hold on. You need to understand that that's not that time has passed.
Okay, fine.
It was frustrating
for us. Like, we had to tell him no after they offered this to us, and now we're not going to backpedal a week later.
Do you realize that that's the thing? Is like, I had the uncomfortable conversation with him where
I heard the conversation. It was very uncomfortable.
Where I had to tell him that you were not interested last time. So
you know what? That was good of me to say I wasn't interested, because if you're not ready, it's pointless, right? Then it's a waste of everybody.
Well, then you'll be ready for gay men.
Yes, and you know what's a waste of time? This conversation right here.
Okay,
because we're moving forward with gay men. Tomorrow, we talk to the various gay men who are interested in kissing Scotty's ear and helping him break the curse of smoking once and for all. All right, Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. The PA is Scotty J., sweet succulent Scotty J. Dave Zinn is the gatekeeper. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Bob Costantini, James Roop, and did we get to Steve Castamon or not? I don't think we did. Thanks, Laura. All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do try to help the retarded, and watch out for snakes, my friends. See you tomorrow. Bye.